This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. Hi.
Let's see how many different ways Burger Jeff can flavor the weather.
Autumn color is vivid in this bright golden sunlight on this Friday morning. There's the live view from our city camera. There's the Jefferson Memorial, the blue waters of the Potomac reflecting that clear sky.
Very good.
Wow. Did he say infecting? Did he really say infecting?
Reflecting.
Reflecting.
Oh, I thought he said infecting that clear sky.
Reflecting. Well, hi, welcome to the show, everybody. As you heard, golden sunlight.
Golden sunlight.
On this beautiful Friday. Let's start with the... This is a tape that's on the internet. It's a guy, not a fake prank call.
Uh-huh.
It's a complaint call. Maybe you've heard this. The guy calling Jimmy Dean Sausage to complain because, and it kind of makes sense. They changed the packaging, but kept the pricing the same.
Yes.
Understand?
I do.
You used to pay whatever it is, $4
I know.
For 16 ounces of Jimmy Dean sausage. Uh-huh. Now it's $4 for 12 ounces.
I hate that.
And I pride myself as the only one on the show that's ever pressed Jimmy Dean's flesh. I met the man.
Pressed it hard.
Jimmy Dean and Frank Perdue on the same night.
And what is sausage but pressed flesh?
Absolutely, Rob.
And also pig's parts.
Pig's parts. Parts is parts. Snouts. May include snouts.
So the guy is upset, and here he is calling Jimmy Dean, the Jimmy Dean hotline.
That's right.
I ask you not.
I don't know where you people come from. I don't know if you test your products, your quantity of your product. Your products are very delicious. Love your sausage for 30-something years, but I can't take and feed a family of five on a little 12-ounce roll of sausage. I don't mind paying you more money for your 16-ounce roll of sausage. But you don't have it anymore. You've got a 12-ounce roll. And you've got three men that weigh over 200 pounds apiece.
That's right.
A woman that's a little plump Scotch girl. And a daughter who's 13. And you're going to try to take a 12-ounce roll of sausage and a couple of dozen eggs and feed that. It ain't going to work. And I'm not going to purchase your product anymore or ever again.
Wow.
He's upset.
Then he's got a part two.
And as far as your 16-ounce and maple and sage, I don't eat that. I'm not from the North. I'm a Texas man. Jimmy Dean sausage is for Southern people to eat with their breakfast, with the fried eggs and the T-bone steaks. And I can't see going to a little 12-ounce package to feed 4, 5, 6 people. And I'm not going to buy two of those 12-ounce packages.
Right on.
Just because you want to downsize and charge the same goddamn price. I'd sure like a reply, and I'd sure like you to go back to your 16-ounce package on your regular sausage, because I'm not going to buy it otherwise ever again. I'll just have my own sauce made like I used to 30-something years ago. It's not as tasty as yours is, but it'll work. Goodbye. That little 12-ounce goddamn roll of sausage is supposed to feed your brother and me and you 600 pounds of men, at least. You get my point? And the two girls, and they put it in that
Now he's just talking.
Somebody needs a kick. Some little consumer geekaroid thought this up. Save money. Yeah, save money. Save money. I'm going to eat,
goddamn. Sure. Goddamn it.
I just heard earlier, though, he threw the T-bone in.
Well, sure. You want sausage with your T-bone.
Well, the T-bone, I mean, that's expensive right there.
So that's the guy who's calling the Jimmy Dean, I guess it is the helpline, leave your thing at the beep.
The consumer complaint line.
Anyway. That's funny.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Great job playing that comedy bit.
Thank you.
Funny stuff. Anyway, gotta run. Number one fan.
Gotcha.
He's very busy.
You plan on taking any phone calls today? You think we should take phone calls?
I think it's a great idea.
All right, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Great job taking calls. I love the fact that you stay connected with the people. Anyway, gotta run. Number one fan.
Thank you.
Gotcha.
He's so nice.
I know we really got to start the show. Did anybody watch the debate last night?
I watched a lot of the debate, almost all of it last night.
Who'd you thought won?
I'm leaning towards your gal.
Who'd you think won?
I thought she won the debate. She came.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Great job keeping us informed about the world of politics.
Thank you.
Gotta run. Number one fan.
Appreciate it.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Thank ye.
Gotcha.
You know, what I liked best, really, was when Dennis Kucinich got up and railed against Jimmy Dean Sausage. He was just, he did 10 minutes on it. They couldn't get him to shut up.
He's right.
And he's a little guy. He's not like over 200 pounds.
Is there any news about Britney Spears or anything at all like that, Lindsay Lohan?
Nothing big, nothing new.
Paris Hilton?
Britney ran over another foot.
She's still driving with her kids in the car, and that's trouble.
Did you see a picture of that somewhere?
Yeah, I did. I actually saw that.
Fan, great job giving us that entertainment buzz. I love staying in touch with the pop culture scene. Gotta run, number one fan.
He is so busy, he's always gotta run.
Really,
I wish he'd linger longer.
We do really have to start the show. Did you watch the CSI last night that we talked about? Was it sappy as predicted with the whole I don't wanna wait?
Yeah, sure it was.
You didn't watch it?
Yes, I did. I did. I loved it. It was fantastic. Well, I liked the ending especially.
Did you watch any?
I liked the ending when she walked down the hallway after planting one on Grissom.
Ah, see, I did not see it. I watched The Office.
I watched 5 seconds of the end of it, but I did see it, and I'm reporting on it now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Great job talking about what was on TV last night. Keep up the awesome work. Gotta run, number one fan.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yourself.
Hello.
Oh, that's funny.
That was funny.
Thanks, Larry.
Sweet peaches, what have I done?
Hey, why don't you just kiss it?
Kiss my bubba. Just kiss it.
Just kiss it.
God, I want to kiss you on the mouth to stop you from saying such ridiculous things.
Wow.
Things like what?
I didn't ask you. You poop.
Hey.
That was funny.
Oh, you bet that was funny. Right, Clay.
This is Rip Taylor. I will be at the Metroliner tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C.
Hi, Rip.
For 2 days. Do not call me until noon because I will not be there. But call me. We can do something before the weekend is over. And Rippy Dippy, we can fill in some interviews and papers for me. So I'm only here for 2 days. Rip Taylor, you may have heard of me. I'll call you tomorrow around noon when I get in.
Well, what have we here?
Ah, darling. Absolutely.
What the bleep happened here?
That was an old message from Rip Taylor, I think.
Thank you, Charlie.
Darling.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
I have hemorrhoids!
I'll stand in line.
Let's pick up the phone and let's call that hotline today.
Let's do it.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
These guys is pretty cool. This is a cool station. These guys is cool, you know. They blue-eyed soul brothers. They all right, you know. They pay off, but they can wail.
Listen to us react.
I love it when you play one of our tapes from the Kinescope.
Cut the jibber-jabber.
Oh. All right.
It takes a lot of courage to get up here and do something that you know people will make fun of.
I know.
That was not funny. Don't you stop laughing. That ain't like funny.
Peter North.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Woo! So I think he like 10 to 12 times at one point.
Yeah.
Ah, what glorious goo.
What's that look like?
Looks like baby vomit.
And, of course.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Uh-huh. And he doesn't.
Here's an maniac. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual, novelty act.
Yeah! Right, start it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike!
There we are. Right, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
How the frig are you?
Frigging great.
Not a Mike Show, and it's Friday. And phone number 7 was yesterday. 877-365-3636. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Howdy.
How are you?
Very well.
Yesterday's show, you guys doing the Peter Gabriel versus Sarah McLachlan standard intro to every single movie trailer, the funniest radio I've ever heard. I had to pull over.
Absolutely.
Number one fan. That's another caller.
Number two.
Oh, fan. No. I'm number one female fan. Oh.
No, you're right. The Smithsonian called after the show yesterday and said, can we please have it, the entire show, on a cassette?
Yes. It was that popular. And you're just echoing what millions have called in and told
us. I want the 8-track version, though, not the cassette. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
8-track's my way to go. But the cliches, keep pointing them out because you guys do it better than anybody else.
All right.
Okay, we'll try not to make a cliche out of your call.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Number one cliche
okay,
out.
Bye-bye.
In a world where ladies call the show.
Hello, Don and Mike show. We're fat ladies.
Of course, they're all fat.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Don and Mike show. How are your balls?
They're very untouched.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
So long, fat ass.
Hello.
Yes, it's you. Speak. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's happening?
Not much. Just sitting here in sunny, fabulous Las Vegas waiting for Mike to come out here and spend some money.
Got my room ready?
Hey, you can come crash with us. That's no problem.
Just, turn down the sheets and put a mint on the pillow.
There you go. Hey, listen, I got to pass this
Steve,
along to
my
you.
Man, how you doing? How are things going at Wynn? At Wynn's Casino. That's great. Are you doing well out there?
I guess they are. I don't work for Wynn.
All
right. Personally, I wish you'd left the thing alone and not built that funny-looking building, but, that's just me. But I got to tell
you. You're right. That is just you. Mike, I got to tell you something.
Yes.
To start the show, I hope you don't mind.
Uh-oh.
I did intrude on your personal life.
All right.
Wow. I called the doctor's office today.
Because you knew I wouldn't.
Of course you wouldn't.
Right.
So I called.
Are you telling the truth?
I swear to any God you choose to believe in.
Just give me a second. A golden calf.
Yes. Name it. Yes. Moo.
All right. I believe you now.
Moo.
All right.
Called today.
Yes.
Discussed your situation.
My situation?
Well, the fact that you refused to go in.
Oh, that situation.
For your follow-up.
Yes.
I had a chat with Nurse Bonnie.
Yes.
About, I swear to God.
Yeah, okay.
And I made you an appointment. I am not kidding. Here you go.
I thought about this.
10:15 a.m., Thursday, November 29th. There you go. So you can tell us all on the day of the 29th what's wrong with you.
Well, did it go any further than that?
Mike, that's privilege between myself and the doctor and Bonnie.
Well, that can't be. That's my medical information that you're telling me is now privileged.
Right.
That's just not right. I wanted you to, if you were going to make the call, I would have liked you to, get a little input from Bonnie. Something that I was hoping Buzz could get for me. And now I've got two people that have spoken with this lovely lady. And, I've got an appointment, but I don't have any.
You got to
go back.
I'm not
going to be able to enjoy my turkey.
You got to go. Well, I could get you in early, but she said that when she had mentioned an 8 o'clock appointment, that you said that was too early.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her to please juggle things around to find something mid morning for you.
That's very
that
nice.
That works
of you.
With the doc and works with your schedule.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is telling the truth. He has handed me
I see it.
A 10:15 a.m. appointment sitting right here now.
Why would I lie?
Perhaps I would be walking into the office at 10:15 a.m.
No.
On Thursday the 29th and hilarity would
God,
ensue.
No, I swear to God I wouldn't do that to you. Although that would be a funny way to get you to show up there. But no, an appointment has been made in your name on that date.
What do you think that's on this card? That's freaking me out right now.
What part?
I have no idea. I wrote down the date and the time, right? I wrote appointment for Mike.
It's important. When did she say that? Did she say that, or did you put that down there?
Yes.
She said it?
Yes.
This is privilege.
Did you get any other information? Just tell me if you got... You don't have to tell me the information. Did you get any information?
You're D-Y-I-N-G.
All right. I can deal with that. You know what that tells me?
See?
You know what that tells me?
Live it up, baby.
Bringing more cash to Vegas. More cash to Vegas, baby. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about liquidating some of my assets and letting it all ride. To always bet on black, to go out there and play. And you know what? I don't play roulette. I will play roulette when I get out there.
Sure.
Good idea.
What a wacky, wacky life we live when you consider the fact that, seriously, I called this doctor's office today, and she thought I was calling about myself, and I said, no, I'm calling on behalf of Mike.
Uh-huh.
And she said, okay, let's talk about him.
And she and you had a nice chat? How long were you on the phone with her, roughly? Can you estimate?
10 minutes.
10 minutes?
10 minutes, wow. Yeah. Well, part of it was, at least 5 minutes was, she had to go back and really check with the doctor to find a time that where he could squeeze you in.
Right.
That would not be the first thing in the morning, because you had said that you didn't want to go first thing in the morning because it was too far away and too early. What?
I feel tightness. I feel tightness
in my
chest.
You may have to go now.
If you do need to get in earlier,
yes,
they can fit you in just about any morning at 8 a.m. if you just give them a heads up.
Well, you know, next week is Thanksgiving week.
Right.
You know, and then this particular date of the 29th, I have something scheduled on that particular date.
Well, move it. Move it.
It's just my health.
Move it.
It can wait.
Move whatever it is you're blocking right now in this position.
Why are they making me wait so long to tell me the bad news?
If you would agree to go at 8 a.m., you probably could go just about any morning.
All right, now this you have to be honest with me about. Do you know something that I don't know?
Kind of.
Kind of doesn't cut it. Kind of does not. I'm asking you directly. This is just like the debates last night. Mr. Edwards, Mr. Obama.
Sure, I'll give you a hint.
All right, give me a hint. All right,
she said to me, for instance, when I went in for my physical,
right,
whatever it was with the finger and everything, the big yearly physical,
right,
like 6 months ago, she said, we've simply faxed you your numbers, and we talked about it on the phone.
Yes.
We don't want to talk about Mike's numbers on the phone. We want him to come in.
What?
Did you steal that lighter from me, incidentally?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh.
It's not
that's
yours.
A sweet, cheap one.
You have the Bix.
No, that's a sweet, cheap
but
one.
But I might have stolen one during the 2 days you were gone. Did you get it back?
No.
You know, then I have to answer that question honestly. I did steal that. And what this is throwing caution to the wind right now.
Sure.
Why wait till the commercial break? That's what I'm saying right now. So what you know is that it's, you know, as opposed to doing it over the phone, you have to be there in person.
Right. That's what she said.
Right.
But it's good that you admitted to stealing the lighter, because if, God forbid, something happens,
I wouldn't want to go out with a lie. As a matter of fact, I remember that, and I thought about that, and I'm sorry that I stole your lighter.
A BFD.
I'm asking for forgiveness.
You know me, I'm all about forgiveness. Absolutely. Forget about it.
Now all you got to do is get on the Metro.
So that's it, basically, that you know, you talk to her. Ooh, I dropped it. I lost it. All right, I'll go
there
see
There it
her.
Is.
I talked to the nurse, and then she talked to the doctor.
Right.
And we'd all like you to show up on the 29th.
All of
us. Who's the doctor and the nurse and you?
Yeah, and all of your friends.
All of us.
I think we should all show up.
Would you?
I'd be there if you asked me to.
Because if I get the news that I'm expecting, we can go out for just really. When's the last time we all did a pre-show lunch?
If you would let me come in the room when he's examining you or whatever, I'd show up.
I would. I'd even make it on your clock. I do it earlier.
Yeah, I'll show up. I'll show up at the 10:15 show.
We could all do that, and then Chinese.
Would you all come with me?
Well, sure.
Yes.
All right, 10:15 on the 29th?
Yes. Yeah.
Would you all come?
I promise.
Sure. Bring the tape recorder?
Yeah.
You're all welcome. Well, he's not going to do any prodding or probing with that.
I bet when he sees that tape recorder, he really puts on a show.
One rule, though.
What's that?
If I want to lie, you can't intervene.
If you want to lie about what? Like when he asks you questions about your lifestyle?
Yes.
He says, now, Mike, you're still a non-smoker, right?
I shouldn't say that. I've lied to other people about that. No, I'll go on the 29th.
You're all welcome.
You're all invited.
Joe, too?
Huh?
Joe, too?
Yes.
I've made a note of it.
And please, the only one requirement I would have for each and every one of you.
Yeah?
When you come to my appointment at 10:15, please wear Christmas sweaters.
I was going to come in a coat and tie.
And Christmas sweaters like women would wear.
That have, like, stitching of
beads.
Do I have any other kind of Christmas sweaters?
You don't.
Other than women's?
You don't. Gingerbread man, snowflakes.
The one that Don's wearing today would not be acceptable.
No,
that Christmas sweater?
No. This is my Halloween sweater, Rob. You're right. It's
Thanksgiving, Don.
Well, let's be honest. It's got the pumpkin on it. I'm fudging.
And the horn of plenty.
I'm fudging. It's really my decorative, What are you doing now?
He's lighting his pot smoking candle.
Lighting a second one, I think.
No, I'm not.
Oh, I see.
I'm just using the top of the Yankee candle for an ashtray. And there's my Martha Stewart tip of the day.
May I light the candle?
No.
No?
No, I don't like the candle.
It helps eat the smoke.
I don't like the candle. The candle brings up all sorts of weird memories for me. So I don't,
really?
I don't like
Does the doctor know about that?
Lighting a candle brings up weird memories? Why?
Hot wax torture?
I can't.
Why? What are you talking about?
I can't say.
You're going to write this down with a cigarette in your mouth.
Right.
B-R-
No, no. Stop. Oh. Stop.
Oh, you can light a candle without that?
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
The nose and the memory is very, very linked together. With that,
James
that
Lipton calls it sense memory.
Does he really?
Yes, he does. It helps you get to the core of your feelings.
Well, thanks for telling me that, you old queen.
You're a double K. You're a complicated cat, Mike O'Mara.
I am very, very complicated. I lead a very, very complicated life, and that did I tell you I had a complicated dream last night?
What was that?
I really did. I mean, a vivid, write it down. Like, you've had dreams before. You dream and you remember them, right? You remember them very vividly?
Sometimes, yeah.
I hardly ever do, but I had a extraordinarily vivid sex dream that was immediately followed by a dream that I can't make any sense of whatsoever. But it was as vivid as if somebody was playing a DVD in a machine and putting it before me.
Wow. When you woke up, did you take a moment to think, did that really happen? Because occasionally,
but it was extremely.
Who were you having sex with?
I was having sex. It was not having sex, but it was sexual. Heather Locklear.
Yeah. So it was the bad part.
It wasn't that bad. The bad part was later when I had a dream that I was upstairs and I had a tweed sport coat on and no pants. And I couldn't find my pants to put my pants on.
Right.
And every single member of my family came into my bedroom, and it was my childhood bedroom that I had, and every member of my immediate family came in, and then the extended family members started coming in, including people I didn't know, grown people in the family with boyfriends, fiancés, girlfriends, and they were all in there, and they were standing there, and I was trying to communicate.
This is why
them.
You got to get to the doctor right away.
I know.
I've had that dream.
I know.
Not really.
I was trying to get them to come to get out of the room because I had to get my pants on, and I wasn't going to move my tweed sport coat out of the way to put my pants on because I didn't have underwear.
Did you watch 30 Rock last night?
No, I didn't.
Because
no.
There was missing pants in that episode.
Yeah, it was about that.
No, I didn't watch that.
Interesting.
No,
I didn't. So, Dr. Freud, I would say that you were covering up your genitals in front of your family.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say, Grasshopper?
Feeling vulnerable.
I think
shame.
A tweed jacket.
Well, that's because he's Irish.
But he never wears a tweed jacket. A tweed jacket. Was it one of those jackets that had, like, patches on the elbows?
It was not. It didn't have patches on the elbows, but it was that kind of jacket.
Okay.
It was, you know, one of those old kind of wool sport coats.
Did you have a shirt on?
Yeah. In fact, I think that the look was I had a dress shirt without a tie.
Yeah.
Oh, this is how vivid it was. A wool sport coat that was a brown wool sport coat that I had on.
All right,
kind of
right.
A tweed look.
All right.
No pants on. And the reason I was mortified that I couldn't get anybody to leave the bedroom was because I had no pants on.
You wanted to.
And I don't think I had shoes on either, but I might have had socks, and I might have had white socks on, which I don't wear with, you know, with like dress clothes, with my school clothes.
You mentioned.
And I think it was all related to sex. I came home last night, and because Don had talked about a little activity he'd had, I had said something to you like, you know, maybe I'll schedule it.
Right.
And Carla was tired and was not in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And we both fell very quickly to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I had the dream about Heather Locklear. The only dream I can tell you, the only thing about Heather Locklear is that I was standing behind her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Of course you were. That's where you always are.
And I had my hands around in front of her.
Shopping.
And I was you know.
Sweet peaches, what have I done?
I was doing a little touchy-touchy and then a little. A little nuzzling.
When mommy boobies.
When you were making love to Heather Locklear.
I wasn't making love to her. I didn't,
okay.
Didn't get that far.
Never went that
it
far.
Was me, and she was kind of cuddling at me. And then I went from holding them to, you know, moving my
and then your whole
my
family,
lips down there.
Then your whole family was standing in front of you.
It was like
this also in your childhood bedroom?
No, this was like a second thing.
Separate,
I think that dream ended,
chapter.
And then I was still asleep. And then the one that I had right before I woke up was the one where everybody was in my family. It was a holiday thing. It was like Thanksgiving.
Sure. Were you the age you are now?
Probably. That I don't know. I'm not sure. But it seemed like it because I remember very vividly there were grown children.
Were there any of your relatives who had passed that were in the dream?
Maybe, but I can't tell you specifically.
That explains it.
But I know it was family members, mm-hmm. but it was more like cousins with their kids that had grown up. A lot of young women.
Were you aroused?
No. Part one of the dream. I was, you know, and I'm not even a Heather Locklear fan.
I think the second part of the dream is you were ashamed that you had the dream with Heather Locklear and you were trying to hide your shame.
No, I don't think it's shame.
It's very. I mean, I'm telling the truth. It's a very vivid dream that I had, and it was very.
You were feeling exposed and vulnerable.
It might be the tumor.
Might
be the tumor.
Any drinking last night?
It's that,
no, none.
It's zero. That cat that liked making it with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know that cat from ye olde Greek time.
Making it with his mom.
What's his name?
Oedipus.
That's right.
Well,
Oedipus.
How could it be Oedipal in nature? I don't even remember my mom being in the room.
Well, right. You mentioned your mom.
Did I mention my
mom?
Yeah,
you did.
Maybe, but I don't. I'm trying to think now. It's hours have passed. I wrote it down. It's in the uh-huh. car. I didn't bring it.
Is it on your blog online?
No. Shut up, Rob.
Now you've gone too far.
So that's quite enough.
I apologize.
That was way too far.
That was.
But the Heather Locklear part was without, you know, doing everything with her had to be one of the more erotic dreams I had. And wow. I think what it was is because I retired last evening with a great deal of sexual tension. That's what it was.
Well, you know.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Haven't done that. Didn't do that today either.
Oh.
I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting.
Still waiting for the release?
To release
the hounds?
I'm saving myself from a good lady.
Oh, you're saving?
Yeah. Because I really, that's just what I'm kind of doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Saving up.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't have the same skills, if you know what I mean, that other people in this room have. So in order for me to make it really good, it helps me to wait. You've talked about that before. You know, when you wait a long time,
it makes it even better.
And that's what, that's what I'm shooting for.
So to speak.
Kaboom.
That's what I'm shooting for. But thank you for making the appointment for me. You just know, you know me so well. You know me so well at this point in time that you knew that I had no intention of making a call to the doctor's office.
No, and here's the other bad part. If you know, because he's the doctor that gave you your meds for when you were having your Hispanic attacks,
mm-hmm.
if you don't go in to at least have your regular yearly physical.
I already had my physical.
No, but also with the follow-up.
With the follow-up. Uh-huh.
Like, then they won't give you meds.
Oh, really?
Right. That's part of their hypocritical oath. I mean, I know I'm being funny there, but it's true. It's that whole thing. Like, I have to see you, and I have to make sure you're okay.
Right.
And I have to tell you absolutely everything about you so that with a clear conscience I can write you a prescription for 1,000 Xanax.
Well, that means that my strategy was correct then, leading up to this physical. Stockpiling. My stockpiling has worked.
Yeah,
fantastic. I've been providing them for the whole neighborhood. Really. And occasionally slipping them to the dogs just to watch them drift off to sleep.
And me, I totally spaced on what the date is. Tomorrow's November 17.
Right.
That means nothing to anybody. I was getting ready to leave the house today, and Jan said, oh, don't forget, tomorrow we're going to Atlantic City. And I said, what are we doing in Atlantic City? She said, you remember Pete? That's the guy's name. Uh-huh. The guy from Philly.
You rolling up there again?
Oh, yeah.
This is the weekend that he's bought a room.
Uh-huh.
And it's his treat.
How did you react to that? Did you? Are you excited?
It was the hands and the face thing. You know, I was just like.
I thought it might be. You have had a bit of a week.
God, yeah. And I had my hand like. Charlie.
Tell her my father died.
She's like, I think he's really looking forward to it. Probably good for you, Janet says this to me.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. That's a perfect escape hatch. That's a wonderful place to go.
I said, it probably would be, except I'm going with, you know,
Pete,
the most obnoxious guy I've ever met who, for whatever reason,
loves you,
loves the fact that I don't like him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thrives on it.
Yes, he does.
Seems to enjoy it.
Feeds on it.
I predict you'll have a tremendous amount of patience for that.
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
I'm being sarcastic.
I'm not going on a lot of sleep this week.
Right.
So there's a good chance if we get our asses in the car and make that four-hour drive up and then we stand in line with the Sea of Humanity for an hour to get our rooms, to be able to go upstairs, to lose a couple of $100s,
right,
have a very awkward dinner with this guy, to try to pull ourselves away from him before midnight.
What time will you be leaving on Sunday morning?
Six.
6 a.m. Your Atlantic City schedule is highly unmanageable for me.
That is not totally by my choice. Janet has something she has to do on Sunday.
Okay, all right.
So she has to be home by like noon or 1 o'clock on Sunday. Sure. So it's a weird turnaround, and I probably will have a great time. It's just, you know, the guy's just a putz.
Well, you know what? I recommend heavy drinking. I think that'll take care of everything. You're going to have more time with him now, more FaceTime, because you're not going to be just going to a show. You're going to have the sit-down dinner, which I believe you didn't have the last time you were there.
That's right.
And he won't have food poisoning this time.
Oh, that's right. He won't have thrown up. He won't have vomited.
Sour stomach.
And was it that Jan said that he called sometime this week? She didn't bother me with it, that he had called, and that he had some real empathy because he lost. He lost his mom or her dad like a year ago. So.
Oh, good. So you'll be able to talk about that, which I know you'll look forward to.
That will be nice.
Because I know how much you enjoy going over those things.
Sharing stories.
Oh, boy. Well, good luck. Good luck to you on that one.
And I finally got a publicity picture of this cat, of this guy. He's the CEO of some famous company.
So he has what's called an executive shot?
Yes. And I am not kidding. The celebrity he most resembles, I don't remember. I'm having a brain fart. Famous actor. Was in the movie Norma Rae, the guy who was the lawyer for Sally Field.
I know who you're talking about. He was like the pro bono activist. He was the union activist.
Who is that guy? He was in like
He looks a little bit like Judd Hirsch.
Hey, this is your job, Rob.
I know. I'm looking it up for you.
Oh, he has not been in a lot of other things, but he has a similar look to Judd Hirsch. He's like a combination of Judd Hirsch and the guy and the Carradine brother from Revenge of the Nerds.
It's Ron Liebman.
That's it.
That's him.
Yeah,
that's
Ron Ruben. Liebman.
That's him.
A huge mouth, if I remember correctly.
Huge mouth.
Very large mouth.
Big schnoz.
Right.
And the whole time I'm sitting with the guy, that's what I'm thinking. Norma Rae.
And will he be bringing Marilyn Monroe with him again?
Oh, her.
You mean the lady with the boob cream and the face cream?
Leatherface.
Yep.
Bejeweled, his bejeweled bride.
Yes, leather. Yeah, Rob, Leatherface will be there.
Did she have platinum blonde hair?
Yeah, but fake blonde. Uh-huh.
Did she have, did she smell of fine perfume?
She did.
The finest?
I'm sure.
She was the one that was going on and on about the creams that would make the cracks in her skin between her boobs clear up. The stuff that she bought at Nordstrom's, whatever that's.
I predict you're going to have a fantastic time. I predict you will come back from Atlantic City with a newfound friend.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed.
Friends for life.
I really do. Well, I'm serious.
BFF.
Unless I meet a stranger at a slot machine, I highly doubt it.
It might be one of those relationships where you guys shake your head all the way up there. Oh, God, here we go. And then before you're going down to dinner, you take this big, deep breath and you say to yourself, oh, here we go. And then.
Not a chance.
You just enjoy hating him.
Not a chance.
All right. You're doing this for your lady.
And also because, she's probably right. I do need to get out of the house. And,
yes.
It'll be nice to go up there. It's that guy.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know.
Good luck.
Normally, I'd be excited about going to Atlantic City. We'll see what happens. However, we did get one other piece of news today that I do think is exciting.
Okay.
And that is the fact that Fox Sports has called to inquire as to where FireJoeKibbsNow.com is from.
There you go.
And
You go.
Who's that tool on Channel 9?
Brett Haber.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah.
He was rolling with it last night on TV.
It's getting hot.
Very so nice. He started the ball rolling, and today some muckety-muck from Fox Sports called and said, what's all this in the nation's capital?
It's a great website, Fire Joe Gibbs Now.
As the Redskins head into Dallas, is Washington really? And that's how it's being posted.
Sure.
Is Washington really turning on Joe?
53%, I believe, now in favor of firing the coach.
It's a squeaker.
Two fat loser DJs have started a website.
Well, you have to take authorship on that one. That was your idea.
Mike. Listen, if this gets us on Fox Sports, I share it with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I really do.
Wanted to be two fat guys, not just one fat guy.
You know, I went to it today, right before the show, as a matter of fact, and I was reading, and there's a lot of good stuff on there, pro and con.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good stuff. Sure. There's the obligatory people, how dare you, that kind of stuff, and then there's the detailed people about how they've been crying all season long. But then there's some really well thought out reasons why, you know, we should move on. And the whole, it's a pretty good website.
The whole thing that makes it funny is that it was a goof on my part, a knee-jerk reaction to them screwing the pooch again.
Last week.
We had Joe put the website together, which means really, you know, quality was job number 1,000.
It looks good.
You look at it, it does look like a slap together thing, but that's what it is. It's a slap together thing.
That's okay.
But for God's sakes, I'm telling you, it's got some mo behind it now, some momentum.
And it happens to be, well, it used to be famous in this town. It happens to be Dallas Week. It happened to be, it used to be a very big deal. It has, you know, it's lost some of its luster.
And for those of you around the country who don't follow the Washington Redskins on our ever-dwindling network of stations, root against the Redskins every week, because from now on, the more the Redskins lose, the better the chances are that Mike and I will finally be thrust into the public platform that we so richly deserve.
Amen.
It will be Mike and I sitting there on the PTI set.
Right.
Not the old orange fossil.
It'll be fantastic.
Not him.
It'll be a special thing. We will do it kind of on the coaching carcass of Joe Gibbs, but we will do it nonetheless. You know, and hasn't he had a great career anyway?
Really? Sure, he has.
Doesn't he have more money than Jesus?
Yes,
he's got
he
the NASCAR. He's got, you know, he's got all the money in the world.
He'll be fine.
He'll be just fine.
Sure he does. And I love the fact that it's almost, you know, sacrilegious to
say. Oh, yeah, the whole irreverent. Well, that's the whole point of his, the whole irreverent. Oh, my God.
You fire joke. Now, there are so many problems with the team, but this guy has done so much for the team. How could you possibly say to fire him?
Any coach or manager in, you know, in any other sport, you know, the fans can clamor for that. But in this town, it's a little bit different when you talk about Joe Gibbs. And that is why I think you thought it was a good idea. Because, you know
what?
You're tweaking it a little bit.
It's funny.
You're tweaking it.
Right now, I'm really, really, I'm really rooting. I'm rooting for 5-11.
One of the emails that I read on the website says that it will never happen.
That he'd be fired?
That he will retire before he gets fired.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I think that, yeah, I think I, all season, I don't think, I just don't think Dan Snyder would have the guts to do
realistically,
that.
We know that, that he's not going to be fired.
Right. It's That's why it's fun to say fire him.
What if he retires?
I would say I would take that as a win.
Sure. Oh, of course.
I would take that as a win.
He'll stay till the end.
Hey, but here's the company line.
He'll stay till 5-11.
Hey, but Don, it's all about the winning. It's all about the winning. If things turn around, yeah, there's nothing we would like better than to be wrong.
That's right, Mike.
Thanks so much.
As a season ticket
That's
holder.
Your line.
That's hey, you know what? And you got that one too. You raised that one up the flagpole. You are a season ticket holder.
And you know how they're going to turn it around? By playing Redskins football.
That's right, Robbie. You got that right, Rob. I just don't think, you know, they're just going to clamor those two fat dish jockeys. They're just not going
to
know.
Here's Redskins football. Hand off to the right, hand off to the left, throw a 2-yard pass on third down, then have the punter come in, and he shanks a punt to the right. That's Redskins football.
See you Redskins next week. Football.
That specialty.
Also, Redskins football is you're winning for the entire game.
Yes.
And then, like, in the last 2 minutes, you just give it away.
Right.
You just flat give it away. And, folks, that's not playing. That's coaching.
And after the 9th loss, we will link the Fire Joe Gibbs Now website to the Hire Russ Grimm website.
Also, Redskins.
Because we're not all negative.
Redskins football is a healthy dose of kneeling down and not looking at the kick. And having a prayer breakfast.
Praying, yeah.
Right.
Pray on it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to pray on that a little bit.
That's right.
Let's all pray on firejoegibbsnow.com.
Well, I don't know how many hits we've gotten, but yesterday, what was it, over 26,000 hits yesterday?
Something like that.
I know that Mark Brunell is praying.
I'm praying. Thanks a lot, Rob. Good luck to us.
Play Redskins football, Mark.
Redskins football.
Jesus Christ. Come on, please.
It's a football game.
I mean, seriously. Seriously, the game has passed the cat by.
Yeah.
And look at his lieutenants that he's got. You've got Al Saunders. No, Rob, I know.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
Whenever I say look at the lieutenants.
Right.
Yeah, he's like, gets excited.
No, it's not a German reference.
And incidentally, I couldn't tell with your email if it was tinged in sarcasm or not. Do you or do you not like the trailer for the Tom Cruise Nazi movie that you sent me today?
I should hope you would know that it looks horrible.
Okay, we'll see. When you send me something that says, I think the header was, this is a great trailer.
Yeah, it was to be read like Michael Hoover. This is a great trailer.
So it's the opposite.
Well, you tell me when you see Jerry Maguire in an eye patch.
It's pretty bad.
You know does that, he look like as I saw? No. I've only seen a still.
Does he look like a little
boy in a German uniform?
He does not make a believable Nazi.
No, right? It's just like he. You know what was the movie? Oh, what the hell was the movie? Born on the 4th of July. Remember when they put the fake beard on him?
Right,
and he didn't. He looked like a little boy at Halloween with a fake beard on.
Remember in A Few Good Men when he would? You'd almost buy him as a young attorney, and
he
then
came
do,
close in that.
And
one.
He would do that smile, that risky business smile,
right?
And lose it.
Right.
When he looks at the people and says, we're going to kill Hitler, you expect him to put on Ray-Bans and start dancing. And it's just wrong.
Yeah. Tom Cruise, you know, I mean, he's youthful looking, but almost to a fault.
It's said based on a true story.
Right.
And I know history to an extent. I don't remember the story. I guess I've heard tales of this. But they've rewritten history to a way where Tom Cruise appears to be the all-American Nazi, the one guy in this two and a half minute short, he's the guy that's wearing the eye patch and has the Iron Cross, and he says, you know, of course, without an accent.
Oh, he doesn't use a German accent.
He says,
why bother?
What we must realize is that Hitler's plan is awful. We must get together, and we must take him down. And then it says, from the director of X-Men.
Yep.
And it looks like a dopey comic book thing.
Is this the story of the guy that brought the briefcase with the bomb in it? Is this what it was?
From what
wasn't there one attempt on Hitler's life?
There were numerous attempts.
Oh, there were numerous. Okay.
This
on the Führer's life. Jesus Christ.
What I get from this is the plan was called Valkyrie, and that was Hitler's final plan if things really went teats up during the war.
Okay.
And they were going to use Valkyrie.
And in this movie they make it look like a modern day thriller because you see fast cuts from like Nazi headquarters, and then another Nazi picks up the phone and says, "It's time to implement Plan Ross Valerie."
Valkyrie.
You know, yeah. And then Tom Cruise is running around going, you know, like he's in Mission Impossible.
Oh, does he run?
Yes.
Like every movie where he's got to do the Tom Cruise hold my head still run.
But what happened is they were going to use the forces to actually kill Hitler without the forces realizing it. But if you want to save $9, Hitler didn't die till 45.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for the history lesson.
That movie doesn't even come out till when, next summer?
I thought it was early next year. I can't wait.
All right, well, I guess you were kidding then.
No, he looks like he's in a Halloween costume. That's all I know.
Hello. I hope we can go.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
After Mike's appointment.
Hello.
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 Hey, what's happening?
Hey, you were talking about Ron Liebman?
Constantly.
Do you remember that movie called Up the Academy?
Do not.
Nope.
From about 1980.
Up the Academy?
No, sir.
Yeah. The movie was so bad that he made them take his name off the credits.
Okay, thank you. That's a show stopper.
Wow, how do you respond to that?
Stopping call. Hello.
Standard. I thought that was a porno movie with that statue like you talk about, you know, Up the Academy.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Speak to us. I hear breathing.
And... okay, let's try that one. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes.
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 Who's this, Joe?
No.
No.
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Yes.
This is Don?
Yes.
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 Yeah, okay. I have something to tell Mike.
Yes.
Yes.
He
doesn't have to worry, okay?
Yes.
No.
I
yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
I have a similar problem, okay?
No.
Yes.
No.
And
what? Yes. Hold on a second.
Yes.
What do you mean you have a similar problem? What? There's been no problem identified here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, what? 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 You say, I have a similar problem. Then Mike, it sounds like you got the palsy.
Mike has a bit of a phobia about finding out what it is that the doctor wants to tell him about his test results.
Might have a good ending, okay?
Yes.
Yes.
I went to my doctor. He said I needed to see me right away, which was like a week and a half later, because I live in Las Vegas. Okay? He said, your liver is on the edge. No more alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Yes. He said, your blood pressure is 166 over 91.
Yes.
Your pulse is 101. And your cholesterol is 458. Well,
why couldn't he have just told you you had a week to live and then you would have left us?
my cholesterol.
Then I wouldn't have had to suffer through this call.
None of us would.
Mike, you could stop all of this if you will just go to the doctor.
I'll go Monday morning.
Yes.
No, you won't.
Why not?
Why
Come
not?
On, Mike.
Do it, Mike, so we can before the we have our turkey, we can find out if you're lying.
Cholesterol is down to 420.
All right.
Get out of here.
Thank you, Baron von Steinhump.
A happy ending.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, I'm sensitive.
Baron von Steinhump.
Baron von Steinhump. He's also in the Tom Cruise movie.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
I got a horror story there for Mike.
Oh, peaches and cream.
Good. He's in a good mood for it.
Franks and beans.
I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, that's kind of turnaround, isn't it, Rob?
So, yeah.
All right.
We don't even know what's wrong with you.
There's been no diagnosis given. As a matter of fact, there's been no indication that there is any diagnosis.
Correct. So you should just get your butt in there and find out.
First thing Monday.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
All right. Mike, same thing happened to me. I was told to come back, no big rush. So I was like, fine, not a problem. With my girlfriend for 7 years. Damn if I don't have herpes now. Watch out, Mike.
That's exactly what they want to tell you.
Are you ready for this, sir? You can't get something that you already have.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
And I do.
He doesn't.
Along with all of them.
In fact, I want to kiss you on the mouth to stop you from saying such ridiculous things.
Buzz, all the things you were saying in your newscast the other day, all the ones that are statistically up in America right now.
Right, all the STDs.
Herpes, syphilis, chlamydia, all of them. Right. Warts.
Everything's up.
All of them.
Hello there. This is the Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
How's everybody doing today?
Super duper.
Listen, I think the best thing that
we're all going to hold our breath till we go see that great Dustin Hoffman movie together tonight.
The Excellent. Wonder Emporium of Mr. Mangorian.
You know, it's been so long since there's been a movie truly rated G that has real actors in it.
Natalie Portman, Dustin Hoffman.
Jason, I'd like to remind you, though, when you take the family out tonight, watch out for those leaves. We've had a lot of leaves now. They're dangerous.
Would that be because of the wind or so?
The wind and the rain. Uh-huh. Hey, hello, what's up?
Well, it's the best thing to do with your season tickets is just leave them lay in your kitchen along with your parking pass.
Leave them lay!
Yeah, that's right. That's what I love to do. I love to just wait. Why don't I just open the window and throw...
They are Redskins tickets. Would you like to buy my PSL?
Why don't I just open the window and throw the money outside? No, you dumbass. I paid for the tickets. I'm going there. My ass will be in the seat every week.
You're a glutton for punishment, my friend.
Leave them lay!
Come on.
Leave him lay there.
Leave him lay.
And another reason that the Redskins just are a piss-poor organization is that, like, yesterday, what was the junk mail we got from the Redskins yesterday? Attention, super-duper fan.
Right.
Your contract for season tickets is up after the 2008 season. If you decide to re-up for another 5 years in the next 2 weeks, we will take 10% off the price we're charging right now.
That's like almost what Disney does with the DVDs.
Yep.
You know, for a limited amount of time, and you've got to act now before the offer closes, before the window of opportunity closes.
That's right, because after December 11th, if I want the opportunity to buy my seats in 2009, I'll have to pay whatever ridiculous price they're charging then.
Right. So you've only got like a 2 week window to do that.
Yeah.
Aren't they sweet? Aren't they considerate?
It's a special.
They're just terrific.
They're running a special.
That's what they care about.
Yeah, that is their number one priority.
FireJoeGibbsNow.com. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Fox Sports is crazy for it.
Yeah, they are.
Hello.
Aloha, Don and Mike.
Aloha to you.
Hey, I've got a question for Mike.
Yes, sir.
Mike, when you were with Heather Locklear, I'm curious, did you cut loose in her hair?
No. We did not get to that point.
Never went
that simply, okay. It was simply what I would describe. I've read this in some textbooks. It's sometimes referred to as petting.
Was it heavy petting?
No, because I believe heavy petting would have been
down there.
Near South America.
You just got to second base with her.
Yes.
Right?
Elaborate second base.
Stole second.
Right. I understand.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right, mother's milk.
Right, exactly.
Right. Mommy boobies.
Mm-hmm. But I woke up, ready for bear today.
Gotcha.
Really did.
Keep saving that sperm.
I will do it. But maybe about the time you're, turning in up in Atlantic City, I'll have my opportunity,
when the house is all quiet, you can hear the crickets. And all of a sudden, there's a rustle. There's a rustle, and well over 280 pounds starts to shift its weight over there. And the sound is something like this. I make a similar sound to, what are those bison that they have on the African Serengeti, you know, the ones with the big horns. I think they're not yaks.
Like a rhino?
It's not a rhino.
They have two horns?
It's a water buffalo. Water buffalo. You know, and that's how Carla knows it's time. She hears the sound of
the snort.
You know what it is? You could either be the old-time Buffalo Bills logo on their helmet.
Right.
Remember the old ones?
Yes.
A standing buffalo?
Right.
Or the new modern one that has the buffalo jumping ahead.
The modern one would move quicker. It would move much quicker.
The luckiest lady in the world just chimed in with something. That's Janet.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Of course. When did
she call?
Just now on the hotline.
Oh, all right.
She didn't want to come on the air, but she wanted to remind you that if you re-upped your tickets through 2009, you get a complimentary ticket to the first home playoff game.
No charge.
Yeah, baby.
Sort of like giving a unicorn saddle, isn't it?
Like one?
I think one per ticket that you buy.
All right. But they have to make the playoffs first.
Well, yeah, and they've got to do well enough to get a home playoff game. When's the last time they've had a home playoff game? I don't think in this stadium.
And with that, they're jumping the gun.
I think Norv had one.
Did he have one in this stadium?
Norv did have one playoff game in their stadium.
The one I remember is when they had to fly to Tampa.
But with that, what they're doing is they're hedging their bets.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
That would give me – they financially – that very offer means that financially they would reap the rewards of the Redskins not making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
By offering you a free ticket, they're saying if they don't go to the play, hey, that's okay. We got those season ticket holders
playoff
with
money
that.
Without
that's
the
right.
Effort. Yeah.
Oh, that's abysmal. That's horrible.
Or very, very
and
clever.
And remember, this is a limited time offer. I only have until December 11th, and after that, it goes back into the Walt Disney Carl Yastrzemski Frozen Vault.
It's Ted Williams,
Frozen Head.
That is so despicable. It really is.
And that's what Redskins football is all about.
We will gladly provide you with a complimentary season ticket bonus playoff ticket if you re-up now for the special discounted price with our two-week limited opportunity window.
I swear to Christ, Jack, if there was a way that you could fire the owner, that is what the website would be.
That would be better.
Fire Snyder. We can't do that.
Mm-mm.
So
yep.
let's just make Coach Joe, the sacrificial lamb.
A lot of that on the website, too. Fire Dan Snyder.
Buy now and get $3 off all Redskins Super Bowl merchandise.
Merchandise.
Of course, they have to make it to the Super Bowl first.
Wow.
Don't split hairs.
Well, won't we have... I tell you, if they do make the playoffs, won't we have egg on our face?
Yeah. No chance, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
No chance. 5-11, my friends. Dallas week. Got it. Oh, my God. God damn.
Look at the time.
Sorry, God, I've used your name 8,000 times in vain. Or, God, we got a break. We'll be right. God damn. Commercial.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
That was funny.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, if you go to donandmikewebsite.com, if you go to our viral video section, we have some great boners that have been pulled by anchor people.
Ah.
There's one that we cannot play the audio on the air. It's from Philadelphia's Channel 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's a woman who, she's talking about the Whitney Houston song. It's one of those Good Morning Philadelphia shows.
Yeah. Hey.
She's talking about the Whitney Houston song, Saving All My Love for You.
Yes. Okay.
And she says, someone has sent them an email and wishes that she would sing the song, I'm shaving all of my, and it's a word that rhymes with huff.
Oh, my.
For you. And she says it, and the guy next to her is like, stop that. And she's like, did I say something bad?
And she's live on the air.
She's live. Now, we can't play that. We can't even beep it out.
Right.
That's on our website. Here's another one that's on our website from some other Action News team.
I love it.
Where they have a problem with love video. These are both up on our website right now.
Good.
A Boise, Idaho woman is considered a medical miracle. Laura Esterman was struck by lightning nearly a month ago, and she was considered officially dead. Thankfully, CPR from her mom revived her heart, but she laid in a coma for 2 weeks, and then she defied all odds and woke up.
Oh, dear.
Well, obviously, there was a problem with that tape. She doesn't really sound like that. She doesn't remember the accident, but the evidence is clear. I am so sorry. Laura's learning to walk again after the lightning burned her legs. And we'll have more on that story and hopefully get that tape fixed for you.
Autumn color is vivid in this bright golden sunlight on this Friday morning. There's the live view from our city camera.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sorry. Too many TV tapes. My apologies.
There is a vulgar element involved with the Don and Mike Show.
So we got the tape of the weather guy from Channel 4. Right. We are now going to try to get that thing from Philadelphia and play it and just beep out the word that the woman says that sounds like Huff, like Sam Huff.
Uh-huh. We can certainly say shaving, right?
Yep.
They haven't eliminated a shaving from our vocabulary, have they?
No, they're not. And it's a great one. Good. Yeah, the other one is equally good. Michael.
Yes, I'm here.
I know you don't like being called Michael, but I only call you that when it's time for legal news.
All right, I'm ready. I'm ready for legal news.
I'm sure you've heard this about Michael Jordan's divorce.
Yes.
I know you like divorces.
Boy, nobody loves them better.
I know you like talking about them.
Well, I'm a pro.
You like hearing about guys that are going through it.
Look it up in the book.
And you like hearing about guys who really know how to get out of a marriage and keep as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, I think it's very important. It's always nice to hear.
I'm sure you've seen the number.
I've seen one of the numbers. I'm not sure what you have.
Okay, I have the number. Do you know the celebrity who he has just beaten out for the all-time top celebrity divorce payout?
I do not know.
Michael Jordan has given his wife $168 million.
Whoa, Jesus. Wow.
Do you remember when we used to do our bits about Michael and Juanita?
Yes, I remember.
Oh, come on, baby. Oh, baby, I swear to God, I didn't do nothing on the road, baby. I'm Michael Jordan, baby.
Mm-hmm, honey.
Baby, why are you saying that stuff about me, baby?
What was the voice I used? Did I use the same voice? I think
that was it.
That was it.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Now, look here, woman.
Mm-hmm.
I am Michael Jordan.
$160
million? $160 million.
Whoa.
That's a lot.
Now,
whoa.
The previous record holder.
I think I know this.
This to me, well, if you do say it.
I think it's an executive, isn't it?
It's not.
It's an actual actor or athlete.
He's a rocker.
Oh, he's a rocker?
Oh. $150 million. Neil Diamond.
Oh, I had no idea.
Neil Diamond paid Sweet Caroline or Cherry, whatever her name is, $150 million. Now, you got to think that she must have had, Michael Jordan, obviously, she had something on him to get that much.
Apparently.
Now, well, they both have something's made of gold.
But yes. who knew that Neil Diamond had amassed that fortune?
Right.
Oh, and who knew that Mrs. Diamond.
Uh-huh.
Hey, how you doing? Pam.
Hey, listen, I'm real excited about this $150 million for you.
Mrs. Diamond, Lisa.
Thanks so much.
That's the new one, right?
I believe it's the new one. Yes, Lisa's his new one. Yeah.
She's the one that was in my band, right?
Thank you.
Jack Diamond a little more.
Listen, I know it's been a tense situation. Let me pen this $150 million check for you.
Wow, 150 million. You know what I like about these stories, and I'm the last person to laugh at the misfortunes of others, but let me say when you see the millions that these people make, when they're making so much more money than I could ever dream in my life of making, even if I hit the Mega Millions lotto ticket,
right?
It is very refreshing for me to see that someone else is stepping up and providing for the relationship that he left behind.
And wasn't Paul McCartney's settlement around like $250 million, $235
million?
The
number that they're talking about now is like 116.
Ah.
They've sadly, I know a lot about this. They've whittled it down.
Ah.
I've seen her go ballistic on every chat show. What's her name? One Love.
Heather Mills.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's her whole thing now.
And she's got some kind of new wacko publicist, too.
She says she's getting death threats. She's crying. She's screaming on TV. And I noticed that every time she goes nuts, the number that Paul McCartney is offering her is going down.
What's nice when they do these settlements is when they calculate how much she made for each year of marriage. And I know that, you know, in the case of Heather Mills, that's an astronomical amount of money because they weren't together all that long.
That's true.
They really weren't. I'm not sure how long the Diamonds were together. I'm not sure. Not sure how long they were. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
That's right. Thanks for the call. Thanks a lot. All right. Here's somebody to get that check to you. Yeah.
You're special with that. Thanks. Have a good weekend. How about Luray Caverns?
You see the changing leaves?
Hey, this is a big check, but I'm going to tell you something. Mrs. Jordan is going to be getting a much larger sum, And really, when you add up what Michael Jordan makes, what I would be curious about would be for someone to calculate for me percentage of his income.
I would guess that of his empire, $168 million.
Yeah.
Maybe a quarter, a half?
I would guess a quarter.
It sounds like about a quarter. Uh-huh. Sounds like 20%. That would be a number that I would be comfortable with.
Would you?
Yes. For Michael Jordan, of course, to hear that.
Yes.
That would make me feel better.
And then he's totally off the hook, right? He doesn't owe her anything else.
Right.
So he can keep warning. He'll make that back in a year, won't he?
I think he still makes
all
tons
he's got to do
money.
Is do a couple of those awful ads with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Michael, I'm wearing your underpants.
Is it Fruit of the Loom or BVD or what?
I think it's Fruit of the Loom.
It's Hanes.
That's what it is.
I don't know what it is except funny because it's great.
They're great commercials, and well, he'll keep earning money for.
Hold on,
forever.
I got something for you, Rob. Don't go far.
Okay.
Step back up. Your microphone's not been vasectomized today.
That's excellent news for me and my microphone.
I love Fridays when I get to catch up on stuff.
Uh-huh.
Here you go. 2007.
It is.
There are places in the world where you can beat your wife, and it's considered reasonable and acceptable.
Yeah, it's called Loudoun County.
Well,
I'm kidding, of course. God bless it.
Of course you are.
Okay.
Look what you're doing for your wife.
Muhammad al-Arifi is a cleric in Saudi Arabia, uh-huh. And he was on Saudi and Kuwaiti TV counseling young Muslim men on the proper way to beat their wives.
Oh, my God.
I'm curious to see if this matches up with my method.
Okay, here you go. These are some quotes now.
Okay.
If your wife makes you angry.
And she does.
Quote, admonish her once, twice, three times, four times, 10 times. If this doesn't work, refuse to share their bed.
That's the first step.
Yeah, uh-huh. To me, that's for Carrie. What's the problem for her?
That is seemingly a reward.
She doesn't have you climbing on top of her.
That's not even tough love there.
What's the downside?
That is really like a free trip to a shopping center.
It's like praising a dog for peeing on the carpet. It's going to result in confusion.
All right, now. Again, from Saudi TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if that doesn't work?
Our big allies, incidentally, Saudi Arabians.
Good people.
What if that doesn't work? Just admonishing her and then sending her to her bedroom.
And not sharing her bed.
Right, you go to a separate bedroom.
Sweat sock full of BBs, right?
If that doesn't work, here's the quote.
What?
Beat them.
Right.
Beating in the face is forbidden.
Yes.
I agree.
Even when it comes to animals. Even if you want your camel or donkey to start walking, you're not allowed to beat it in the face.
No. Oh, I thought they meant beating her with an animal.
If this is true for animals, it's all the more true when it comes to women.
That's true.
So when you're going to beat your wife, you should be light and not beat her in the face.
This is on television in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Educational TV.
Jesus.
Then he looks directly into the camera and he says, quote, woman, it has gone too far. I can't bear it anymore. Beat her when it will not leave marks in places where it will not cause damage.
That's exactly right. Because you don't want to get caught.
Unfortunately, yes. Many husbands beat their wives only when they get mad. And when they start beating, it's as if they're punching a wall.
Mm.
They beat with their hands right and left and use their feet. It's a human being you're beating.
You never your feet.
This is forbidden.
This should be forbidden.
Wow, so he's on TV on an educational program,
uh-huh.
Training people how to. These are our big allies that we're...
counseling young Muslim men on the proper way to beat their wives.
We're counting on Saudi Arabia for the war on terror.
Obviously, we have certain things that we agree on and things we disagree on. The admonishing the wife. And
stop it.
But the part that's really dead on, and I recommend it to all of you people,
oh, God.
People that are here and people that are within the sound of my voice.
Okay, what?
If you wouldn't do it to your camel, don't do it to your wife.
Or your donkey.
That's where Rob starts.
Don, who has a donkey? Come on.
Oh,
I take
nice
this
to see.
Seriously.
It's nice to see they're making progress over there.
One hump or two.
Mm-hmm. Do we have that Rob Zombie PETA thing as well?
It's on that disc right there.
Better beatings.
Rob Zombie is a veg guy, uh-huh. and he's against PETA,
He's for PETA. He's a member of PETA.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got it backwards. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's for not eating animals.
Right. Pretty amazing that this guy is so loving and gentle with animals right. when you see some of his movies.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the last one, the name of the last one that
it
I saw.
It was, God damn it, it was the remake. It was Rob Zombie's.
Was Halloween that he remade?
Yeah, Halloween, yeah.
The Devil's Rejects is the last one that I saw on
Halloween
cable.
Is the last one, and it did boffo box office.
I mean, his movies are known as the most violent movies that you see on screen.
All right, so he recorded a message for PETA. But all the horrible thing. Now, he's going on a rant here against Butterball Turkey.
Ah.
So here is
I just bought one yesterday.
Rob Zombie.
Hey, this is Rob Zombie on PETA's Thanksgiving Hotline. Did you know that in the wild, mother turkeys fiercely defend their babies, or that they develop strong social bonds and recognize each other by face? Yet, every year, Butterball's Turkey Talk Line answers questions about how to boil, broil, roast, and toast the bodies of these gentle, smart, and social birds.
Boil.
What Butterball doesn't tell you is that it, like other meat companies, tortures turkeys before they end up in the grocery stores. Turkeys often become painfully crippled because they are given so many drugs to make them grow so unnaturally large and that their legs splinter.
This has a lot to the sounds kind of like the Saudi Arabia thing with your wife.
Another highly disturbing piece of tape.
Wait till he talks about sexually abusing the
oh my God.
The turkeys. Oh,
that's the bird's throats are often slit while they're still conscious and able to feel the pain. In one Butterball slaughterhouse, PETA found a worker sexually assaulting the birds and another stomping on birds' heads until their skulls exploded.
Joe Arnger.
Strange from a man who makes movies about people's skulls exploding.
Make Thanksgiving for the birds. Call 1-800-BUTTERBALL and tell the company to stop torturing turkeys. And for delicious, animal-friendly Thanksgiving recipes, visit goveg.com. That's GOVEG.com. Thank you.
What about the vagina?
You want to roll over to Rob Zombie's house this Thanksgiving? Have a nice tofu Thanksgiving? One of those. Didn't they make the bird the shape of a turkey out of tofu?
Yuck! Yeah,
yum,
I sure
yum.
Would like to see that video. There's some video I'd like to see of the Butterball worker.
Yeah,
getting it on with the turkey.
Yeah, they're walking up and down those rows of cages, and they come around the corner. Oh my God!
He's brining it.
Didn't we have a story years ago about it? Wasn't even Butterball, wasn't it? Up Wampler Farms, where a guy was doing that up in Pennsylvania.
Yes, yes, you were right.
The guy was doing, and he was habitual.
Hello, Don and my show. He loved it.
A handsome bird.
He was addicted to it.
He loved it.
Hello.
Hello.
Once you have bird, you never go back. Hey, what's happening? Once you have. Once Tom Turkey. Once you've been inside Tom Turkey.
His friends call him Giblet on the bowling team.
What's happening?
Greetings from Las Vegas.
Hi there.
Listen, I find it kind of ironic that Rob Zombie doesn't want you eating animals. This weekend, he's going to be at the Palms with Ozzy Osbourne, who used to bite the head off a chicken.
Right.
A bat, wasn't it?
Bats.
Yeah.
Bats.
Or bat or whatever the heck it was. But, yeah, he's such a animal lover that he's headlining with Ozzy out here at the Palms this weekend.
You know, and it's not just the violence in Rob Zombie's movies. Rob Zombie's movies are just amazing in their content as far as when it is the violence. It's the torture that he does for human beings,
Don
too.
Mike, hello.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Great job taking calls. I love the fact that you stay connected with the people. Anyway, gotta run. Number one fan.
You know, because I don't like people that much either, so I like Rob Zombie movies occasionally. Have you seen the guy that has the clown face?
When did he go from being Rob Zombie to being Rob Zombie the movie guy?
Oh, I mean, he's, you know.
When did he make that transition?
Not long ago. Rob says about 5 years ago. I think that's right, 5 years ago.
Because I totally missed him.
And I think it was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He did that one, too. And it's got that one guy. Have you seen any of his movies?
No.
Where it's got the guy with the clown face, and he's just this big, tall, bald guy. And I think they obviously doctor the teeth that they have.
You can doctor the teeth.
And he's got these teeth. And, you know, I recommend having a few cocktails one evening and, you know, curling up by the fire and watching a nice Rob Zombie movie.
It makes Pennywise look like someone you'd want to invite to your kid's party.
It is so horrific. It really,
really, really
is.
Bad.
Yep, yeah, nasty.
I think he started directing right after he stopped his male modeling.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Well, that way.
Was it our breath? Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Robert. Hey guys, number one fan, number one fan.
Experience our hot breath. Hi.
Without a clue, listening in Tampa, no clue. So, what's up, guys?
Well, if you're not listening, then or like everyone,
talking about Barry Bonds.
Yes, sorry, that big controversy, you know. What will the legacy of the slugger be if he does indeed do jail time?
Last night, I had a red ass. I just about threw my TV out the window.
Really?
Get home, long day, want to just sit down, turn on, say, hi, DVR. Where's PTI? It comes up, PTI, except PTI was preempted for the breaking news about Barry Bonds, which ESPN has now gone with 24 hours a day.
Yeah, wall-to-wall coverage.
That's all they're doing now is Barry Bonds. Seriously, who gives two Fs about Barry Bonds?
And I know it might be a weird thing to say, but you're getting more coverage about this than you did actually when he broke the record. I mean, when he broke the record, it was kind of an afterthought.
Well, people don't care about that. People don't care about him now. People don't care if he goes to jail. Who really?
Nobody cares.
Nobody.
You give 24 hours of your network to that?
You know, as much as I, you know, whatever you think about using steroids, I mean, for God's sakes, 30 years in jail? I mean, that seems a little odd, but it's not for using steroids.
It's for lying. Perjury. It's lying to a grand jury.
Lying to the grand jury. You
between,
can't do that.
Between Bonds and OJ right now, I think Michael Vick could open up a restaurant and it would be a success. Michael I don't think
Vick
anyone
is
remembers that.
Very happy that these guys are in the headlines. Sure.
And the other thing they kept doing on ESPN, because they just couldn't fill with the nonstop Barry Bonds, they also just started going 24 hours a day A-Rod. It was either, okay, Barry Bonds has been indicted. Okay, we're going to talk about that with all the same heads that we always talk about it. All right, we ran out of stuff. We're still on live TV. Hey, how about that, A-Rod?
Do you think that your average good guy athlete, you know, the guy that works hard, that's a, you know, solid performer, that has good statistics in whatever his sports are, do you think that maybe a guy like that gets a little frustrated because the dinks are the ones that are getting all the press? You know, the guys that are really stains are the ones that get all the attention. I mean, it really, and it's really it's what everything's become now. But it's not just sports, it's everything media entertainment.
Good guys don't sell.
I know, it's ridiculous, though. You know, and the only reason, it's not even the money with A-Rod. It's really because A-Rod had the big deal with the stripper, and A-Rod's hated because, you know, he broke his little story during the World Series. And that it's just, you know, it's not just because he's getting all this money and it's the New York Yankees. He's getting it because he's such a hump.
But my point is, it's not worthy of ESPN breaking away from regular programming for 24-hour wall-to-wall coverage. I mean, they're treating the Barry Bonds story like JFK being assassinated.
Right.
They're excited to have something new to talk about.
And, of course, he's denying it. He's denying that he lied to the grand jury. And, you know, even whatever you think about Barry Bonds, whether he did or whether he didn't, I think he did. I think it's pretty obvious that he did. But what his lawyer said, which kind of makes sense, that if he goes to trial, and this is even for Barry Bonds haters, if this guy goes to trial and he beats the rap, you know what that's going to be? That'll be, what, one news cycle? One news cycle.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it'll be gone. It won't. They won't preempt PTI for that.
I never say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about something else.
That's how little Barry Bonds means to you.
Yeah, really.
Well, everybody feels the same way. They would just want him to go away.
Right.
I mean, we all know he's a stain. He's not a popular guy, and that's, you know, part of the reason he's got this stuff going
bye
on.
Bye. Right. Okay, one more. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, the tall, bald guy that Mike is talking about, his name is Sid Haig, and Rob Zombie did not do the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
But Sid Haig was in it, right?
Yeah, he's in all Rob Zombie's movies, pretty much.
And does he always wear that clown makeup?
No, he just wore that in The House of a Thousand Corpses.
That's where he made his producing writing debut in 2003. And then his first producing credit was The Devil's Rejects in 2005.
And that guy that he's talking about did wear the clown makeup also in The Devil's Rejects, because I saw that late one night.
What was that song that we used to use their song as the opening for the show?
Right.
It was like, wow, 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 wow.
Sid Haig, the clown face in the movies, has a nice southern accent, too. It's like, hello, little lady.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Hey, I missed yesterday's show, but I heard Rob's getting a vasectomy.
No, he actually changed his mind.
Well, that's good, because I was going to tell him there's something that his wife can get that's better than that, but that's good to hear.
Well, what can his wife get?
It's an E-Shear procedure where there's no surgery. I don't know why people don't know about this, but...
What is it?
It's they put these... You guys are going to gross up. They put two little coils in your fallopian tubes, and your body closes your tubes up without surgery.
Isn't that like an IUD?
No, it's just a permanent sterilization.
Isn't it like putting a cork at the end of a tube? I mean, to dumb it down, but
it's not quite that exciting. But yes.
Did you say it was an Eastern procedure?
What's it called?
No, Essure, E-S-S-U-R-E.
It's called Jenkum. It's called Jenkum.
It will fascinate you.
My wife is a Christian Scientist and doesn't believe in surgery.
Oh, God.
Well, that was your first mistake, Rob.
Okay, goodbye, honey.
It wasn't my first mistake.
First mistake was answering this call. But thank you anyway for the call.
Toodaloo, pump.
right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, look out!
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Gay, 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 gay.
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
Yummy, yummy. They haven't killed anybody yet. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, we're celebrating Homovember all month long.
Oh, boy.
Next Wednesday, big, big, huge, gigantic Homovember show. We'll have Homo Joe upstairs with 10 fantastic gay men experiencing a homosexual Thanksgiving. And we'll have live entertainment by
Blair Michaels,
the drag queen of drag queens.
That's next Wednesday on the show. Information on our website, donandmikewebsite.com.
Cool.
Let's work ourselves into the mood.
Yes.
Let's get the feel of the room. We never got to Craig this week.
Let's feel Very up the good. Room.
Craig is good.
Excellent.
Also, we have a tape of Katie Couric off camera speaking about Dan Rather. Does anybody know if that is worth listening to?
It's much more of a video than that. But, I mean, you might want to check it out. It's a lot of her adjusting her coat.
And what did she do? She tells a story about Dan Rather, some story about him.
Yeah, he was the big controversy with Dan Rather is when he had the trench coat that he wanted to know whether he should do the stand-up piece with the collar up or down. And she's adjusting her coat and... they say she mocks Dan Rather, but it's Katie Couric being Katie. But it's a lot of Katie Couric saying interesting things you wouldn't expect her to hear.
Well, it's 4.5 minutes long.
Yeah, it's quite long.
She says a lot of bros and stuff. I figure my bet would be play it and then see how long before you get bored.
There you go.
All right. Here we go. And then we'll read Craig.
Okay.
Because Joe is just telling me that this is something he's been watching for a while.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And if Joe says it's good, I'm gonna go with it.
Okay.
Should I open my coat? Now I'm gonna be like Dan Rather on YouTube. Mike, help me with my coat. Can you help me? What do you think? Open or it's kind of cold, so maybe we should close it. Wait, what do you think, Mike?
Collar up, collar down.
Yeah, yeah. I think this looks good.
Well, there you go.
You've heard the gist of it there.
That was pretty good.
I won the pool.
I have ADD. That's pretty good for me.
That was very good. Wasn't that stimulating?
Let's read Craig.
Very All right. good.
It would be better if she was bitchy.
Wasn't bitchy. No. She's laughing even when she's really critiquing.
Because that's the rap on her, that behind the scenes, behind the smiley, perky, everybody's favorite pixie, she's really a gigantic...
Having said that, you are... with a capital C.
Right. You want to give me a C?
Later on in the tape, she calls herself a tart. That's about the extent of it.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then I'm glad we don't have to talk about her.
Me too.
It's Homovember. And we all know what that means.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
From the pages of USA Today. The final word by Craig Wilson. Starlight, star bright. First caller, I star six tonight.
On any given day, I have a couple dozen voice messages left on my cell phone. I admit I'm not addicted to answering, or at least not as immediately as I probably should.
My friend Lisa Boy likes to remind me, it kind of defeats the whole purpose of a cell phone not to answer it when it rings, so be it.
Maybe I don't answer right away, because most of my calls are from PR people hawking their wares. Most ramble on for far too long.
Even if I'm interested in what they're selling, I often get impatient with their monologues.
The best invention the folks ever came up with is something called Star 6. All you have to do is push Star 6 on your phone, and the message is gone. Mid-sentence.
Now along comes another invention that might even do Star 6. A company called Umail.com has created a service that recognizes people who call and allows you to record a different greeting, tailor-made, just for them, boy.
You can just give your friends everything from poetry to political opinions, sharing your creative greetings in a growling online...
I'm sorry, I wanted to say growling.
Growing, Mike.
Sharing your creative greetings...
It's growing.
...in a growing online library of thousands of audio files. In short, a brilliant idea!
Have a relative with whom you've been politically sparring for years?
Give him his own personal greeting.
Hey, Mike. Can't take your call right now. I'm off working on Hillary's campaign.
A loved one would be treated more kindly, of course.
Of course.
Maybe he or she would be greeted with James Taylor, crooning how sweet it is to be loved by you, for instance.
There's even a ditch mail feature that allows users to play a not-so-nice greeting for someone and then hang up before they can leave a message. Perfect for those creeps who just won't go away. Has revenge ever sounded so sweet, boy?
It's even free. Paid for by ads on the website. What a time saver. You can cut right to the chase.
Ever since I learned about this new feature, I've been thinking what messages I'd leave for certain people in my life.
My mom.
Winner!
My mom, for some reason, always asks me what the weather is like when she calls. I found this curious since she's not here.
Right.
And therefore, my weather should be of no interest to her at all. But it is.
Hey, Mom. Sorry I missed your call. It's partly cloudy today, with a chance of showers tonight. Clearing tomorrow.
I should appease her for a day or two until she calls again. At which point, I'd update the greeting.
My partner, Jack, calls most afternoons from work to tell me what we're having for dinner. Another habit I found a bit curious. Winner.
Just tell me what tonight's special is.
Not that he won't go on about the salad course and the choice of wine.
My friend Bob often calls to tell me his life's falling apart. His life has been falling apart for quite a while now. I'm a good listener, but...
Not today, Bob. I have a headache.
And my universal message for unknown callers? Most likely PR folks pitching stories?
Hi, it's Craig Wilson at USA Today. Keep it short and sweet. Don't make me Star 6 you!
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Hey, bravo.
That's one of those, a slow burn.
It's a slow burn, but it's got the little nuggets, and it's almost like a game now. You got Mom, I got Jack, and then you got Bob, didn't you?
Bob, poor Bob.
My friend Bob.
Hi, Mom.
And interesting his response to Bob. I don't want to read more into it than there is, but not today, Bob. I have a headache.
Oh, but Greg, my life is falling apart.
I have a headache, Bob. I don't want to have to Star 6 you.
Bobby.
You silly beast.
Hi, Craig. It's Jack. Listen, I was thinking tonight, how are you feeling about Brussels sprouts, boy?
Craig, Jack, lamb kebabs?
Salad course
and a fine Riesling.
Hi, Craig. It's Jack. I keep wanting to ask you if you want asparagus tonight. And also, Bob keeps calling.
Oh, dear. I'm going to start having to give Bob the USA Today greeting that I give to the PR people that call me all the time.
Oh, not Brussels sprouts again. I love the man. I really do.
Me too. Famous Brussels sprouts.
All right, everybody, let's clear the lines. Uh-huh. Let's get ready to give away some big bucks. We got $500.
Wow.
Give away right now on today's show.
Whoa.
Here's the question. Where are you
listening to our show. Oh.
We have not done this in a very, very long time.
Correctamundo. This is where you you call us. 877-365-3636. And you tell us, literally, where you are listening to our show.
I'm at
right
Bob's
now.
House.
Yeah, maybe, Mike.
I'm at Jack's house.
Or at Mom's house.
Cooking lamb kebab.
We've had a guy call us. My God. From a slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
One guy was, we had a guy driving an ambulance with dead people in the back of it.
We also had a guy call from a morgue where he was putting on toe tags.
Yeah. Didn't we have, was this the one where the guy called and locked himself in the trunk of his car?
Yep.
Yeah, that was that. You know, we've had a lot of them around death because we had a crematorium worker too.
And a silo. Yeah. I just, you know, that wasn't real special, but I like that one.
But mainly we just fly through your calls and we'll get one that's absolutely crazy, wacky, funny, kooky.
Super duper.
And that person gets $500. So the question is right now, you in your everyday life, as you're toiling through making your bucks, where are you right now listening to our show?
Mm-hmm. Please don't simply say the town and state you're calling from, because we will consider you an idiot.
You got to be doing something that is slightly interesting.
Yeah, and usually it happens west of the Mason-Dixon line. That's where we get the unusual callers in the middle of their workday.
And you know what, boy, you're right about the death thing, because I think we've had, like, medical examiners call us and say, I know we've had people from saying, hey, I'm listening to the show today in a morgue.
Wasn't there a guy called that was cleaning up a crime scene one time?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Like, cleaning up, like, where there had been a body for a very long period of time?
The best one might have been the guy that was working in the crematorium and was not doing the job the way he should have been, and like halfway through the call, the boss figured out that he was saying that like he didn't burn the bodies all the way or something.
Well, he was talking to us, and he wasn't doing his job, and he had to cut the call short. Yeah. He got in trouble that way. Yeah.
So where the heck are you? Mm-hmm. Listening on this good-looking Friday. Cats and Kittens, our phone number is 877-365-3636. We have the privilege of broadcasting to nearly 50 of America's mid-sized cities. So we know that out there, there's a combination of people doing odd jobs, listening to us right now.
$500.
Okay. You got it, 877-365-3636. This is slow cooking. Mm-hmm. This is a crock pot feature.
That's right.
I guarantee the first call will not be, hey, Don, I'm like, guess what? I'm digging a grave right now and I'm putting 10 bodies in there, and there's maggots covering my body, and we're all loving this show and listening to the show right now, and I'm having sex with 8 girls right now.
No, it takes a little while to get up to that point.
It builds.
So you never know.
You never know.
So where are you?
All right.
Call us right now. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did Ms. Levinson ever say why she thought she was being fired?
She thought it had to do with the twins. That's what I call them.
Can you be more specific? Who are the twins?
To be delicate, they hang off Milady's chest. They make milk.
You don't need to go any further. Her breasts.
Yes.
She thought it had something to do with her recent breast enhancement surgery.
Yes, and frankly, the timing was nothing short of predominant.
The Don and Mike Show.
Just as cute as a peyote button. The Don and Mike Show.
God, I want to kiss you on the mouth to stop you from saying such ridiculous things.
All right, well, then kiss it.
Kiss my bubba. Just kiss it.
Oh, kiss it.
Sweet peaches, what have I done?
Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?
To be delicate, they hang off Milady's chest.
That's so sad that that's the last episode of that show we're going to see for a while, The Office.
That's the one now. You got me hooked on it. After all these years.
You know, they'll start showing reruns, and it'll be good for you, Mike.
Yeah, I think I will catch up on
that.
All
you'll
of
catch
them.
Up on. If they're smart, they won't show the ones they've already shown this year. They'll show some from last year.
Right. You know, it's amazing to think why that show is such a big hit, because it is so simple when you really look at it on the surface. But, you know, you put him in that room, and I saw the title of the episode, and I started laughing because, you know, it was going to be Steve Carell in a deposition.
You know, you could almost debate if that episode of The Office last night was funny or sad,
right?
Because it truly was funny, but then there are parts of it that are just goddamn sad. And I was sitting there watching it with Janet, and she said at one point, she said, pause it for a second, pause. She says, this is what the corporate world
is really like.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah. When they were having the talk about HR and all that other stuff, she said, "Yeah, I know this is a goofy show. We're laughing at it, but this is like real, and this stuff really happens."
You know what the most corporate thing was is the birthday cake episode.
Oh yeah,
when he wanted to eliminate all the people's birthdays. That is exactly what would happen in an office. It really would. It's great.
Anyway, where are you? I'm sorry, we're here talking about TV, and we want to know where the heck you are.
Where are you?
Where are you?
Where?
And not physically, as we said, like geographically, but where are you right now listening to our show physically? Let's find out, see if we can give somebody $500. Hello, Don and Mike Show, where are you listening today?
Well, I'm listening on a radio station out of Reno. But right. I am currently way the hell out in the middle of the Nevada desert because I am a truck driver, and I'm delivering uniforms to the Lovelock Correctional Facility.
You're delivering what?
You're in a truck delivering uniforms to the prison.
That's correct.
In the middle of the desert.
Not thick enough.
Good start, though.
Yeah. Very good start.
Yeah.
Promising start. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Where are you listening?
I am washing fecal matter off of windows. I think it's probably my competitor. I have my own window washing company.
You're at Rob's house?
Yes. Yeah. And it's not just, I mean, it's definitely human fecal matter. I'm pretty sure it's my competitor. I undercut his price. I stole a good bit of business from him.
All right, he's out.
That's an agenda caller, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
It's like the guy that's in business against Joe and Joe's power washing thing.
His windows are cheaper.
I'm at the gas station power washing fecal matter off the tanks.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Where are you listening?
I'm on my way to the hospital to get my hand stitched up. I just smashed it at work.
What exactly happened?
I crushed it in a lift.
In a lift?
Promising, but if you're driving yourself there, how badly is your hand?
It's bad enough that I was the only person left on site. I didn't have a choice but to drive myself.
You know what really would have made this? If you had fingers in a baggie.
Oh, we'd have a winner. Boy, oh, yeah. We'd
automatic
have a winner.
Winner right there.
Try harder.
It's just to get it stitched up? You're bleeding a little bit?
I'm bleeding a pretty good bit. It's wrapped up inside of a shirt right now.
Well, as tempting as that sounds, we're gonna pass on you.
Yeah, the password is severed.
Right.
Don't bleed out.
As little piggy went to market. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi, where are you listening?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling from the meth lab in my basement.
Now, this could be a lie. This could be true, but I am interested. You're at a meth lab.
Describe the surroundings, please.
The meth lab in my basement in Salisbury, Maryland.
Describe your surroundings, please.
There's a bunch of tables, a lot of white powder. A lot of test tubes and whatnot, but...
Oh!
Whatnot.
Well, saved us the trouble.
Uh-huh. Plus, did you get the feeling like me? He wasn't really making meth?
A lot of tables, white powder around. Come on.
Too vague.
Tubes. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Where are you listening?
I am standing outside of my wrecked car at this very moment listening to you on the radio.
Would you like to tell us about the accident?
Please.
Well, I'm driving my little 2003 Hyundai Accent, and somebody in a Chevy Tahoe decided that red light did not apply to them.
The Tahoe won, I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh, he won. Well,
that's the Americans versus the Japanese, my friend. Americans always win.
He wasn't wearing a seatbelt, so he's the one currently strapped to a stretcher at the moment.
A
and since you guys enjoy dead people so much, praying he is dead.
Oh, now stop that.
Come on. We don't enjoy dead people.
I didn't run the red light.
Is he really banged up?
Oh, I can't see him. He's there. I already loaded him up in the ambulance.
If you get him to call, you get the $500.
Ooh, well, I don't know that he's there.
Yeah.
Okay, see you later.
I know you guys love dead people.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. We're crazy about him. We're crazy.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? I'm a bail enforcement agent, and I'm waiting for an absconder to come out of his house so that I can arrest him.
Is your name Dog?
In my van.
Is this Dog?
Don't use the N-word. That's a bad word.
This is not Dog.
All right, well, tell us about the circumstance.
Well, okay, this guy, I bailed him out about a month ago. It's only for traffic tickets. It's a $5,000 bond.
Uh-huh.
I'm just waiting for him to come out of his house right now. I've been sitting here about 40.
Not thick enough. You know, if the guy, first off,
I can appreciate the fact that he's a bounty hunter, but if it's traffic tickets.
Yeah, he's not exactly going to come out of the house guns a-blazing.
Yeah, no,
it's not going to happen.
But these are all fine.
Yeah, I'm interested by all of them.
A lot of times they get these and they're just people like, hey, I'm on the toilet.
Yeah, no.
Those can be interesting, too. It depends on the condition.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello, where are you listening?
I'm listening from Tracy, California. And this is what I'm going to do, okay? I'm almost completely naked. I'm already drinking probably like 12 beers. I'm going to go into this pen with these goats and just go at it.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, hold on. Let me jump in. Okay, I just got to take my pants off. Hold on.
Sure, I'll play along.
I should point out, we are now at least on the East Coast approaching the 6 o'clock hour. That will be the next hour that tolls.
Advertisers, are you wondering? Was that perhaps a nod at the lady with the lightning bolt tape?
Don't even know.
Goat effer.
Don't even know.
Hello. Buzz, shock jar.
Sorry. I
said goat effer.
Hi.
He was.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, where are you listening to our show today?
I am sitting in my car across from a sandwich place watching my husband and with some chick who might be his girlfriend.
Oh, baby.
Thank you, God.
We might have a finalist.
Let's get our Christ on.
Thank you. thank you. Sweet peaches.
All right.
Sweet peaches. What have I done?
All right. Now tell us your story because you got to lead up to this. You're obviously suspicious.
We need to know all of the details and we cannot give you leading information.
Right.
So you tell us how you ended up watching your husband dining with another woman.
Well, she's somebody I know.
Ooh.
This is an acquaintance and, you know, seen some flirty action. So I read his email.
Okay, so so far so good. You got some information on email. What kind of, you know, you can speak generally. What kind of information did you get?
Oh, you know, it was great talking to you on the phone. You know, it was nice having lunch with you. Uh-huh. Boy, if I wasn't married, blah, blah, blah.
So nothing really lovey-dovey or overtly sexual.
People are so stupid.
Yeah, they are.
Doing that with email. That really, you might as well just put a sign up saying, catch me. Uh-huh.
So now do you have a bird's-eye view of where they are? Are they in a restaurant near a window?
Yeah, they're in a sandwich shop, and I'm in a friend's car because mine's distinctive.
Uh-huh. How long have you been there?
They probably about 20 minutes, and
what are
nothing's
they,
going
what are,
on.
What are they doing? What are they doing right now?
They're just eating and talking, uh-huh. But I'm kind of thinking once they pack up and leave and go in their separate cars, I might catch them in a kiss.
Okay, so do you have binoculars or anything like that?
No, I can see from here.
Uh-huh. Isn't it just driving you nuts? Why don't you just march your ass over there?
Well, she wants to get some more evidence.
I want to make sure first.
Right.
Well, and even after that, I mean, you might want to hold off. You know what I mean?
I'm just thinking it'd be good for the show.
Show to confront right away. Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, there I was being swept away again
by
the moment.
If you want the $500, really, this is a great one. You really would have to walk over. Hold on. Joe's waving his hand. What, Joe?
Is it her husband's regular routine to have dinner with other women on Friday night?
Oh, no.
It's Friday afternoon. You're calling from the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lunch.
Ignore that previous statement. That was someone from the peanut gallery who mistakenly got on TV. I'm not sure how that happened.
Thank you, Bennett.
Your husband did write if he wasn't married, ...
Yeah.
But there's no, like, I love you or I've got to be with you or anything. I mean, how many emails have you read?
About four. Uh-huh.
So four. And how long have you suspected?
Probably about 6 months.
Perhaps he's simply having an affair of the heart.
Yeah, because really, you know, if he's sitting there and he's having lunch.
Those are the kind that hurt more.
What is does the woman work with him?
No.
You said she was your friend, right?
Well, an acquaintance of ours. Uh-huh.
Well, give us more. Give us a little bit more so we can so we can have our little, divorce court right here.
Is she younger than you?
Probably about the same.
What have you done to make your husband want to cheat?
Is she married?
Stop it.
Is she married? Is she married?
Divorced.
Ah. Recently?
No.
And she's a friend. She's a friend of yours?
An acquaintance
of yours.
Rate her from 1 to 10. How hot do you think she is? 10 being the hottest.
Seven.
Mm. Has your husband ever done anything similar to this? Have you been suspicious before?
No.
So we're ruling out perhaps the serial cheating.
How hot is the wife?
Yeah, how hot are you?
Yeah, give yourself a number, please.
Probably about the same.
Mm-hmm. About the same. And did you watch them? Have you been there since they got there and walked into the restaurant?
Yes.
Now, how did that happen? Describe that, please.
They met there in separate cars.
Uh-huh.
And they walked in separate. He got there first. She came in. They hugged each other.
Oh, they hugged each other.
Oh, they hugged.
They hugged.
Oh, they hugged.
Of course, a hug is kind of a greeting if you're
sure.
a friend.
How did you know to go there?
Email.
He said, I'll meet you at the such and such sandwich shop.
The email.
Yeah.
Well, if he's that stupid, then he deserves you walking in on him. I mean, if he's writing this stuff in his email.
But if
ready to do that.
You're not going to do that?
No, I'm not ready for that.
What if you see them come out and engage in a lip lock? Will you confront at that point, or will you try to get more evidence?
I'll get more evidence first.
Uh-huh. Boy, that's got to be. But I mean, you're living with the guy, man.
How are you going to? Let's say he just leaves and they hug and they get in their cars and they go home. What are you going to say to him tonight at the dinner table?
Great question.
So, what'd you do today?
Uh-huh. And when he says to you, nothing, I was at work all day, will you confront him about this?
I will probably monitor email for a little longer and then confront.
You know, I mean, boy, if you can handle it, it's got to be eating you up inside, I would imagine.
It's getting there.
Well, let's say this. Obviously, you're suspicious enough to be staking out your husband, but as far as really believing that something's going on, what percentage of you are believing that right now?
About
90%.
I read a lot of women's magazines. When's the last time he boned you? When's the last time you guys had sex?
A year ago.
See, there's no doubt.
Boy.
There's no doubt.
Wow.
See, because all the women's magazines say if he suddenly doesn't seem interested in sex, but if it's been a year, well, hold on, lady. If it's been a year.
Yeah.
How dumb are you?
What is the?
No offense, of course. But
how did that happen? How did that come to be that you guys don't get?
Yeah,
together?
And then I want to find out about the acquaintance and what you know. Do you have any more info on her,
ma'am? Oh, I think.
Oh, drove her off.
Perhaps we've offended her.
That's too bad. Well, no wonder the guy's out there getting some.
We were growing
Jesus
so
Christ, he's married to a tree.
Did we seem to have lost the call? That was interesting. Well, that's tough, though, yeah, because, I mean, you would think that you garner as much evidence as you can, but you got to still, you know, sleep with the guy.
If they've not had sex in a year.
In a year, there might be some trouble.
He is most definitely banging that lady at Applebee's.
Right.
Or at O'Mara's or wherever they were having lunch. Hello there.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Don't forget Mike's big turkey baster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here you go.
Pajama party.
There it is. Thank you.
You are just.
Shameless. That's my middle name. Thank you.
You are like
you.
I am what? What am I?
You're just a whore of whores.
I am. I have to.
Mike O'Mara's Turkey Baster Pajama Party 2007 Wednesday night at Mike's restaurant.
Less than a week away.
It is less than a week away. Yes.
This invite entitles you. Guaranteed admission, no waiting in line.
Mm-hmm. Third annual.
And access to the VIP room as well.
Well, the printing is very small.
Well, that's the detail.
The printing is small because it's a big picture of you, Mr.
It's the third one.
Mr. Horn Dog,
mm-hmm.
surrounded by, I believe, three of Hef's girlfriends.
That's correct. The photoshopping is wonderful.
Third annual.
It gets better every year.
It gets better every year, Rob.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I love it.
Thank you.
And bigger.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, where are you listening to the show?
I'm in my walnut orchard.
You're in your what?
You're in your what? What are you in?
Walnut orchard.
Walnut orchard.
Walnut orchard.
How are your walnuts? We were talking about Rob's yesterday.
Yeah, poor Rob. I wouldn't do that if I was him.
Thick enough. Sorry, just not thick enough.
Hanging around walnut trees causes brain damage.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Where are you listening?
Hey, Don and Mike. I'm in Maryland. I'm stuck in traffic. I work for a fertility clinic, and I drive samples between the fertility clinic and the laboratory for testing.
Shouldn't you really transport that by water? Like by a naval vessel?
Oh, I guess I could, but it goes from the laboratory, and then it has to go.
Because if it was a submarine today, it'd be full of semen.
Full of semen?
Not thick enough. He didn't explain it well enough.
No, he didn't. And, there are guys that transport that stuff.
Hello, Don and Mike. I'm transporting a load right now.
Me too.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
For now, I am.
Where are you listening?
Hello?
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 Hello, Helen?
Hello?
Hello, where are you listening? Did you say
Helen? I'm listening to you guys from an outhouse.
An outhouse.
Is it your own outhouse?
No, it's the outhouse at my work. I'm at a...
What are
I'm
you in a... Wait a minute, hold on. Are you in a porta... Are you in a porta potty?
I'm in a porta potty.
Say outhouse,
not
different
exactly
than porta potty.
That's right. And I thought he said Helen at the beginning of that call.
Helen?
Helen? Hi, Don and Mike show. Where are you listening?
Oh, yes, Don and Mike.
I tell you what would be great. If a guy called and said, hey, Don and Mike, I'm having lunch right now with this.
I'm at the sandwich shop.
I'm having lunch with this chick I'm banging. I've been banging her for about a year now.
And I think I see my wife out in a strange car out in the parking lot.
My wife has stolen a car.
Hello. Where are you listening?
Yes, I'm calling from my pants.
Okay. We love a good joke. Hi,
oh, yeah.
Don and Mike show. Where are you listening? Where? Hi.
Hello.
Where are you listening to our show today?
I am listening to you in a room that is negative 20 degrees Celsius.
And why?
I work at Johns Hopkins University, and I do work in a protein biochemistry lab, and I've been working all day in a room that's negative 20 degrees Celsius.
Well, what is that Fahrenheit?
That's like being inside Rob's heart.
It's about 10 below.
About 10 below, yes. It's really, really cold.
Rob studied in school.
Not thick enough, sorry.
Some people call it centigrade.
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 Yes. I'm a scientist.
You ask me a question, I answer it, and then I get mad.
I'm sorry.
And you get mad.
I don't get mad. I really respect.
You wonder why my heart is so cold?
I respect your book learning.
Canada.
Really
and you're right about the outhouse. An outhouse has to be made of wood with a moon cut in the
right.
Door.
Toronto.
And, because I got mad at you on Monday's show, I will bring you a banana.
Thank you. I love a banana. I'd prefer a Perco set.
Let's try one more before break. Donna, Mike, where are you listening right now?
I'm calling from the Las Vegas Diagnostic Lab. Seems to be part of a theme today.
You're what? I'm sorry, where are you?
A Las Vegas Diagnostic Lab.
Yes. I have in front of me, I have a specimen of a pap smear, a fecal sample, and a big Crayola box assortment of various urine samples.
Well, it sounds tasty.
Are you wearing gloves?
Oh, yeah.
What are you making?
Jenkum. I got a Jenkum lab.
Uh-huh. I have a question for you. At lunch, do you eat sandwiches?
I order out.
Of course you do. Yep. Not thinking of that. I believe you. Just not what we're looking for.
Right. Yeah, we had something there with that lady. It was in the middle of the investigation.
And that guy was only telling a half-truth. He had all the samples, but he's at his kitchenette in his apartment.
He's not in a lab.
Let's roll this over to another break.
All right.
We did have a lot of really good ones.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about, wouldn't that be great if we got a call from the guy in the sandwich shop? Yeah. There's this hottie I'm sitting across from. I think that's my wife outside.
I'm getting a handy right now.
In the sandwich shop.
I'm in a booth at O'Mara's.
Stop it now. Come on.
Looking at Mike's turkey baster. and the cow is out of the barn.
Hey, we'd throw him right out of town.
Right. Keep calling, little brains. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Oh, exactly. Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
Kiss my bumper. Just kiss it.
Something stinks like stale French fries.
That was funny.
Why do you favor rape?
That was not funny. Was don't hard. You stop laughing. That ain't like funny.
What the bleep happened here?
I don't know, Larry.
I don't know. We got a rejoiner here? Give me a second.
They are lousy with VD.
Uh-huh.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We're lousy with VD.
Being careful? It's very important to me, because I have genital herpes.
and I don't.
How are your olives, Rachel?
Rachel Ray here, just topping off my holiday deviled ham dip with a little sliced olives.
Baby.
Rachel.
Rachel Ray. Where are you listening right now?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. We've got about 10 more minutes. We're going to be talking to our friend Frank Caliendo. So make sure that we have time for Frank. Mm-hmm. And we've got the great one-on-one Frank with Charles Barkley that I was telling you about yesterday. And it's even better if you've not seen the video or you've seen it, because if you've not seen it or heard it, I should say, when we play it for you, you will not know which guy is Charles Barkley and which guy is Frank Caliendo.
Oh, that's great.
And the best part is Charles Barkley, after they go through 5 minutes of this, says to him, when are you going to start impersonating me?
Oh.
I mean, you got to hear it.
Wow.
It's worth it. We'll have Frank on in a few. But first, we're going to try to give away that $500. Where the frig are you listening today to our show?
We had some good ones in the first segment. Let's see what happens.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Where are you listening?
Right now, I'm in my work truck following a flatbed tow truck with my car, which I believe is being repossessed on it. That's the only possible explanation here.
So you're following a repo man?
Yes.
And where do you think he's going?
Well, it's across state lines. Well, the dealership that I originally bought it in was in Virginia. I live in Maryland.
Uh-huh. My friend, I have to tell you something. As someone who's been there on the other side, it's not a question of if your car is being repoed or not.
Right.
And you would know. Have you made the payments?
No, but there's a reasonable explanation for that. They supposedly had a 3,000-mile, 3-month warranty for any car that you buy off that lot. Two weeks after I got it off the lot, the clutch went out on me. It wasn't able to move. I've already spent like $1,500 in repairs. Just got it out of the...
Pixie!
That's awful.
Not thick enough. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Where? Where are you listening? What was that?
Sounds like 11.
Hello. Hi, Don and Mike. You there?
Hello?
Yes, where are you listening?
Hi there.
Hi, calling from a cadaver lab at a university.
A cadaver what?
A cadaver lab.
A cadaver lab.
A cadaver lab at what?
A medical school.
At where, sir?
At a medical school at a university.
Oh. You sound nervous, sir.
Well, I probably shouldn't be doing this.
What's the school?
It's University of Nevada in Reno.
Rob's crap detector has gone off.
Instantly. Anytime you say, I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, that is a tell normally. That is a tell. How many bodies are you around?
There's 7 of them in here right now.
Why don't you put the phone down and take one of the corpses and clap their two dead, meaty hands together?
Oh, God.
No, I really don't like touching these things.
Well, do you want the money or not?
Yeah.
Everybody has that moment.
That's right. Right, and all of our crap detectors were going off at the end there.
And I really was just waiting for him to clap his own hands.
That would have worked.
Yeah, no, that was you was tricking him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey,
where are you?
I'm a lawman in the nation's capital taking pictures of speeders in a police cruiser.
There is no way on God's green earth we're giving you one dime.
No.
Get out of here.
Guy?
Go catch bad guys.
Can you hit your siren?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hang on a second.
Go catch real bad guys. I mean,
yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
Here you go.
Yep, there he is.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, having a good day? What intersection?
Gee, I hope.
In the northwest part of the city.
Uh-huh. Think of all the weekends you can ruin in the next couple of hours.
How many weekends have you ruined so far?
None right now. It's pretty slow. Too much traffic.
Can I give you a prize for that?
Sorry, officer. Continue the good work.
The ding was for those who serve, but still. Sorry, bastard. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Where are you listening?
I am calling you from Santa Fe, New Mexico. I am in front of the old Santa Fe prison where those horrible riots happened back in the early 80s. Spooky place.
Well, unless one of those riots is going on right now, honey, this would be a pretty worthless call.
Come on.
I like the way you threw spooky place in there. What is it? It's some kind of museum right now?
No. Actually, the National National Guard Armory uses it now for training or something. Uh-huh. I've actually been in it.
I think you're wonderful as the maid on My Name is Earl.
God, so not nice. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
Go looking for hubcaps.
I'm in front of the old prison where they had a riot one time. Spooky.
Rob. You are so not nice. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's going on, Don and Mike?
Hey, where are you listening today?
I am bored up in your show from one of the stations in Boston.
Boo!
Get out of here.
No, not thick enough.
He's already adequately compensated.
Well, if he had been board hopping and looked out the window and his wife was in the car with another man.
Hi there, Don and Mike show. Where are you listening today?
I'm in the van with a dead body.
What kind of van? What are the circumstances?
I just picked it up out of a hospital morgue and dragged it out, and I'm about to bring it to the mortuary. And I've been trying to get a hold of you guys. I was in the morgue, and I was going to do it, but couldn't get through. So I got him in the van right here, ready to unload him.
Uh-huh. Don't believe you.
I got my crap detector on now.
Don't believe you, my
friend. We did too much talking about corpses.
Put me on the line. I'll give you the number. You can call the hospital and get the information.
We'll call the hospital and get what information could we verify?
I mean, you could say that I just picked up the body from that hospital. Mm-hmm. I just talked to the nursing supervisor. She can do it.
And we wouldn't put it on the air, but, you know, I don't know what it is. You know, it sounds strange to say, but like the first time we ever got a cadaver call, we were kind of motivated. But then we did all that talking about the cadavers, and now the one guy with the crap detector, I don't know. It's just not working for us today.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello. Where are you? Where are you listening right now? Hello?
I am listening in a nunnery.
Well, now, if that's true, that might be a finalist. How the heck do we prove that?
I don't know how you prove it. I can't drag a sister out and beat her and make her swear to you or something.
What are you doing at a nunnery?
I'm a mailman, so I deliver their mail.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? What kind of mail do they get? Do they get anything interesting?
Lots of TV guides.
Do they get any Victoria's Secret?
Not that I know.
Do you deliver many catalogs to the nunnery?
Yeah, you do. You give them, like, I forget what they're trading companies, where you get, like, you give kids pencils and stuff, you know, that kind of stuff.
You know what? You could win this contest if you would put a nun on the phone with us.
Well, let me see what I can do. Hang on. I will grab someone here real quick. I'm in a bad location, so my phone may go out.
That's all right. God will be with you.
God be with you, too. I'll be right here. Here I go. Here we go. The Sisters of Providence.
Well, fine. Listen, we'll know right away if it's a nun.
Oh, absolutely.
Is someone here a nun?
You're at a nunnery, you dumbass. Is someone here a nun?
Lots of nuns.
Oh, I'm talking to the lady at the desk.
Oh, the front desk.
Uh-huh. I didn't know if there's some ladies here.
Yeah, let's have none of that.
I have someone on the phone, and they don't believe that I'm talking to him in a nunnery or in a convent.
Tell him you're on the radio.
He does know the word.
Yeah, and you'll be on the radio. You want to talk to him real quick? No, you don't want to talk to anyone? Would you like to?
Tell them you want a prize. We don't believe that you're in a nunnery.
They just want you to say that I'm in the convent, and then I'm the mailman. My name is Bruce.
Yes, Bruce is here.
Hello, sister. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And he really is in a convent.
Oh, he's here, very much so.
Ma'am, if you could just tell us your favorite passage in the Bible.
What else do you need?
Oh,
no, would you put Sister Mary Elephant back on?
Class.
I'd like to speak to you one more time. Would that be okay?
Just one real quick question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Ma'am, thank you for your time. May I ask you the passage in the Bible that means the most to you in your everyday life?
The passage that does what?
That means the most to you.
Your favorite Bible passage.
Oh, God is love.
God is love.
It.
That's it.
Right.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I will tell you that
that's really not, that's like a generic.
I know.
I need something more.
I mean, something meatier.
A nun would have like Matthew 18-42, and then he said that thou shalt not call radio shows.
But you know, it would be God is love. I don't doubt this guy, but I think he should be a finalist, not necessarily a winner.
Right.
You know, I think we can do better.
Hello?
Better than God? Come on.
He's playing the God card.
Better than God.
Was that nun hot?
No.
Didn't sound it.
I believe him.
Didn't sound it at all.
Why don't you go back and ask to speak to the hottest nun?
I think the hottest nun's probably burning in hell.
Oh, dear.
Well, now, what does that mean?
I don't know what he's doing right there. Was she wearing the uniform?
Yeah, she had a cross and a white and black top, you know.
Was she wearing a habit?
Yeah, habit, yeah. Uh-huh.
Did she have a bra on?
Oh, God. I wasn't looking that closely, guys.
Shame on
just
you.
Just flesh and bone, Mike.
I know, but, you know.
Just flesh and bone.
You're having fun now, aren't you?
Sure.
Now Don's getting me. He knows. He knows. Yeah, I haven't shook my Catholic guilt out of me yet.
Yeah. Go back in and throw her back on.
What? Come on. Okay.
I tell you what.
Some hot penguin.
That's fine. Okay, I hear you guys.
I dare you. I double dog dare you to go up and ask one of those nuns the IHOP joke.
Oh, no.
Now I kind of believe in that maybe
he's
a good nun.
Yeah, I think he's in a convent. Uh-huh. No doubt about it.
What the hell? Let's give him the money.
All right. Good for him.
Besides, we got to talk to Frank.
And he got the nun on the phone, didn't he?
Yes, and I do believe that was a nun.
Yeah, that sounded like a nun.
That's a first for us.
You should tell her the whole go with God is really weak.
God is love, Don.
God is love. It's weak when someone's going to pin you down about...
Yeah, but you know what? That's what they do. They do the simplistic thing. You know, that's it. That sounds like what a nun would say.
Well, delivering mail to a nunnery has won you $500, mailman.
Well, yeah.
You should be very thankful that we went with the nuns instead of the cadavers today.
Well, you know, the nuns will get a nice gift from me to say thank you.
Oh, that's very nice. That's good of you to do that.
And where are you a mailman? What state?
In Spokane, Washington.
Spokane, Washington.
Wonderful.
All right, enjoy your $500, and thank you for listening.
Well, thank you, guys.
Right. The Sisters of Providence.
Go with God.
They're TV guides.
Right. He's the ultimate CEO.
Yeah. He's the number one guy.
Sure.
Sure, boy.
Who
sure
wants to walk with Jesus?
Sure, damn.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style.
Let's do it.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel?
Yeah.
Right? The ultimate CEO?
Right.
Biggest celebrity of them all?
Yep.
Who's down with G-O-D?
Yeah.
I have hemorrhoids.
We will talk to the fabulous Frank Caliendo.
Yeah. Fantastic.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, just ahead of Frank, here's the setup. I was telling you about this a couple days ago.
Right.
So he's on TNT, and he's on the set. With Charles Barkley. I defy you to tell me, listening to the audio, if you can tell which one is Caliendo and which one is Charles Barkley, especially when Frank starts talking about which camera is going to look at him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roll it.
Okay, should I open my coat? Now I'm gonna be like Dan Rather on
YouTube.
Sounds
like Katie Couric.
Hold on, that's Katie Couric.
Uh-huh.
This will be better.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Pixie!
Oops, here we go. Here's Frank.
That's Frank Caliendo. It's good to see you, man.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
You see that look that Chuck is giving me over there? I hope it doesn't break into my voice. That's going to be nuts. He does not sound like me.
That's Frank.
He looks like a fool. Kenneth, tell him he's crazy.
I'm just waiting. Number one, from the clips
we've
seen.
Oh, that was you talking. My fault.
Sorry, let me mirror what you're doing over there.
All right. That's how bad stuff happens around here. You know, it's been really fun watching all your promos, but I'm not going to be happy. They say you do me really well.
He's been doing that for the last five minutes.
That's
the problem.
I just don't feel it. I'm listening right now, but I don't hear what it's going with.
That's Frank.
Like, that guy's a knucklehead.
No, you know what he's thinking? You know what he's thinking?
Let me tell you something, Kenny. Hold on a second. I never get to finish anything here. I start to say something, everybody takes it away from me. How come I can't finish a sentence in this place? What's the problem here?
That's not bad.
No, hold on a second.
You
bring
thought
the
your
camera back
was going on.
Give me the camera. Oh. Where's my camera? Take a look. If you're going to switch cameras, let me know, okay? Don't make me look like an idiot over here, all right?
Is anything off limits for a comedian?
I think so. I think all kinds of stuff. I mean, I tend to be very clean and stuff like that. So it's.
Is this the one he winds up with? Horrible, terrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
People. I.
Good. Oh boy, that was not good. I got a look of death right there.
No, I mean, because like, what's off? Because I think if there's no intent to be hurtful, some people just do stupid stuff.
That's the real Charles.
Yeah. And you got to be, if you're a comedian,
God,
you got to joke about it.
Yeah, I think how you get there makes it offensive, but nothing's off limit. How you get there is off limit.
If you can explain yourself, I think you're okay in a lot of ways. Like, I talk about the president all the time, and some people take offense to it, but the joke is that it's just being silly. It's not about talking about his politics or anything like that. People are going to take offense to things all the time.
That's what they should take offense to, his policies.
Have you gotten...
Yeah, I tried. Charles, I've...
I've worked as hard as I can.
Oh, that's scary.
I'm doing everything I can to, you know.
You need a word?
It would make it better.
Let's get Frank on here.
Even better than a stroke and a poke. Yeah. The Don and Mike Show.
Because the segment goes on, and then Frank actually says to him, though he said on our show a while ago, he says, I love the way you say horrible, terrible.
I remember when he came on the show and he was just starting that. He was just working on it.
Right. And Charles Barkley, swear to God, is looking at him like, this is not good. Here he is now. Frank Caliendo. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Hey.
Oh, man, you got it, man. You worked on that a long time, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I guess in terms of some of the other ones that worked on it, I got it pretty fast.
Wow, that is spot on. I mean, really, impossible. Really, on that audio tape, impossible to tell the difference between the two.
Yeah, you know, I struggle with some of listening to my own stuff sometimes, but that's pretty good, guys.
That is so good. That is so good that I'm frankly pissed off now to have you on the show.
I know you didn't see the video, but at
it's
one
not
point
the first time you've been pissed off, Dan.
That's true, absolutely.
They're doing a shot, it's a clip from Frank TV, and right. And they've got him in the makeup, and he's got the bald thing on, and they got Barkley on one side, and they got Frank on the other side, and Charles Barkley seriously is doing the split screen. Goes, he doesn't look at their life.
I'll tell you what, I would do that. We would do the makeup a little bit differently after meeting Charles. There's just a couple little things we do a little differently, and it would be even better. I think it was okay, but it could be really good. And Charles, he liked it when I walked up to Charles and go, say hello to Mini-Me.
I think I told you when you did that the first time. That is maybe better than, I mean, the Madden is legendary, but the Charles Barkley.
Frank, I have a question.
Don't hear anybody do that.
An impressionist Frank. Question for you, because I'm curious what... Over the years, when Dom would like play a tape of somebody, it's a lot easier because I'll hear the voice right away and do it. When you're around these people, actually around them live, does that I would imagine that helps you more than anything else, right?
Oh, way more, yeah, because right. you see what they actually are like. Because you know, television, when you see stuff on TV, it's not all it's two dimensional. It's not three dimensional. When you see the 3D dimension, the third dimension with people, it's really a totally different thing. So it's real helpful. You get to see the little nuances of the person as you're sitting there, and it just helps to get to a whole new level. I've been ever since then, even sitting there with him, it's been even easier and easier to talk like him and do that. So definitely.
I don't want to make anybody think that we're friends with Frank. We're big fans of Frank's. We're admirers of his. And it's been fun to see him evolve. He's now Mr. Big Time.
Mm-hmm. Frank, I can't believe how many plugs he got during the ALCS.
Two words, guys. I'm sorry.
Mr. Whore It Out, but really you've got to see this. It's a thing that TBS sent us.
Right.
It's a big, gigantic.
My God, look at that fly. My God, that looks like what they'd send out for a Mercedes-Benz.
That's very nice.
Who does Frank think he is? And then it has Frank, you know, with a picture. He's wearing his Madden makeup, and he's like, there's his Jack, and there's his De Niro.
Wow.
And my God, you are just... such a whore.
Well, they're the whores.
Well, you're being whored, though.
Yeah, you know how much of a whore I am. You put me with another group of whores, and it's, God, it is the bunny ranch.
Just counting all the whoring that Frank does, you do the bit on the Fox NFL show, and now you're featured in the promos, and you're in the every week thing, here's what's coming up, and you also have Frank TV, which debuts...
Tuesday at 11.
Tuesday, and you have another show that you're whoring as well, the all over the place.
The stand-up special, yeah, that's tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central.
So is that kind of a lead-in to the Frank TV show?
Yeah, it's all TBS, and it's kind of like an introductory. It's some of the stuff I've done before, people seen a little bit, and some new bits that people haven't seen mixed together to try and get the TBS audience familiar with me at first, other than just going, Frank TV!
Well, we talk about the whoring, but the fact is TBS has got to be behind you based on when I was watching the baseball playoffs. Mm. My God, I mean, it was every single break. They love you.
Yeah, more than every single break. Like, it was, like, in between promos for my show, there were promos for my show. It was the most... here's the craziest thing. I'm in New York City on Monday, all right? I'm walking down the street. A guy gives me this look. I think it's just some, you know, New York look that some guy... And I don't know what to... He keeps staring at me, and like, kind of like, what? I didn't say what, but I gave him that what look. And he points over to a building, 200 feet tall, me on a building.
Oh, wow.
I felt like Kong, guy. nice.
Yeah, that's got to feel great, doesn't it?
It's cool, but at the same time, a little bit embarrassing. You know, you're just like, oh, my God, what is happening?
So, Frank, knowing you, like I said, we're not friends, but I think we know you enough. We've seen you off stage. Are you waiting? It seems your personality. Are you waiting for the other shoe to drop now that all of this great stuff is happening to you? Are you still going out and hawking your own CDs and signing them when you do your stand up?
Yeah,
things?
I save like $20 doing that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
See, that's true.
That's what I love about
you. That's
how
bad it is. I really do save like $20 doing that.
And you're still, are you working as hard on the comedy circuit as you were before?
No, I'm down a little bit just because we've been shooting every day for Frank TV and then all the press and stuff like that. So it's and not to mention the NFL and Fox stuff. So it's I've done a few. I did Gator Growl 50,000 people last week or 2 weeks ago in Gainesville, Florida. That was a big event, and doing some of these corporate events I do and stuff like that. But I can't go anywhere for like more than a day or two. It's impossible. So it's just theaters and stuff like that.
And how many of these Frank TV shows do you have in the can now?
There's 4 to 5. We're at 4 or 5. They're sorting it out, but it looks like it'll be 4 or 5.
Okay,
that's quite a commitment.
Yeah. Well, we're supposed to have 8, but the strike cut us down.
Right. No, I was going to ask you about that seriously because a lot of your stuff now. I don't know. I've always thought that you write your stuff yourself. Do you have writers? On your TV show,
Yeah, 7 or 8 writers. Six, somewhere between 6 and 8, depending on how you look at it. And they can't. No new material could be generated after the strike date. Mm-hmm. So I could go in and improvise stuff and do different things, but at a certain point, you just finish with what you have and go. You don't try to go further. It's it's about trying to balance the people working and the at the same time these writers. The writers are right. They deserve the money. So the difficult thing is you want everybody to work. So it just tensions are difficult and it's.
But Frank, being the whore that you are, let's say that after the first of the year, the strike continues and TBS comes to you and they say, listen, Frank.
We're picking up 13 more episodes.
We got an opportunity here. We'll make a commitment for 13 more. You don't need writers because you're a funny cat. You can come out and do this. Frank, how about it?
Plus, they would never do that. They wouldn't do that because they would get in a lot of trouble for trying to do something like that. They'd be looked upon pretty badly.
Somebody's got to. But Frank, someone's got to be the first.
Yeah, but I think,
why not you?
All right, you guys got me.
Okay. Hey, seriously about the writer's strike, and since you're right in the middle of all that and working with these people, I would imagine comedy writers in particular would be a pretty cynical bunch of people. Are there any of these people that are going into this strike? You see everybody on the picket lines, but are there any of these people that are going out and doing it to honor their union, but at the same time going, man, I wish this thing would just end, and I don't give a rat's ass at this point. I mean, there's got to be a little of that.
Sure there are, but you have to stand behind, the group. It's, they do deserve this amount of money. So, that's how writers in their, that's like their 401k. That's kind of how
right.
It works. They get the residuals in the later in life. So, they're working for that. There's all kinds. There's some people that really want to be there. There's some people that aren't that have to. It's just like anything.
Right.
The people I know want to work. They don't want to cross a picket line by any means and couldn't and wouldn't, but they want to work. They want to get back to work and they want to figure out, how come this isn't getting done and they can't, it just isn't. So the studios have to break. Hopefully they will a little bit. It's not huge money. It's a tough situation. I don't understand all of it. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand all of it at all. I just know that it's really about residuals and internet. It's about internet.
Do you get any sense at all about the movement on it as to whether anything's going to shake loose at all?
They haven't said anything at all lately. The last I'd heard, no, they're not even meeting. So they may, it gets into that negotiation tactics. Everybody's around Christmas time. So what, the people who have all the money, what are they going to say? Well, we've got enough money to go through Christmas. We'll be fine. So, what was the movie Network?
Yeah. Right.
It's that kind of stuff.
So what about the bit you do like on the Fox show? You write that yourself?
I could go and I could do improvise. I can improvise parts of it and stuff like that.
And if I'm not mistaken, when you started the year of whoring, the year of 2007, known as the year of whoring, you announced that you were going to be featured during the Super Bowl broadcast this year. Correct?
Yeah.
So now, no writers, you're going to wing it, right?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm hoping everything's cleared up by then. It's a weird thing. You can go out and perform, and right by after contract, you can go and do your own stuff. You can't write for other people. You can't write other people in the sketches or whatever. You know that's how reality TV is going. They produce the stuff without actual
damn,
writing.
You're so likable and you're so humble, Frank. God damn! I really wish that you would just. You're such a whore, yet you're so nice.
Who are you guys again? Who are you? Dean and Mark.
Yeah, right.
Dean
and Mark, please. Right.
Whoever you guys are.
You go on more radio shows, I swear to God, than the traveling psychics do. But we're always glad when you're on. I like to think that we don't whore you out and make you do a million voices. But I was looking at your PR here. Very seriously, Frank, I've never heard you do Jerry Seinfeld. And it says it. Would you please?
I do more of a Seinfeld yelling than, what are you thinking? What are you doing? What's wrong with you?
B-movie.
Yeah, what's the problem with that? I don't get it. In this show, in the first sketch of the whole show is me in all the Seinfeld characters in the year 2027. Yeah, we've tried to find a way where they could all be fat. So
man, I like that.
They all let themselves go. It's 20 years later and they're all 50 pounds heavier.
Do you play Elaine as well?
Oh yeah, that's I found a way to make Rosie O'Donnell look hot.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's a great well produced piece it's not just me, it's a lot of people putting that together. I was gonna say green screen. It's not really green screen. It's locked off cameras and sliding the screen around, and just it's an amazing thing to see. I'm on the screen like as four different people at once at certain times. Wow. And it's really just great.
You know, this is a jive impersonation question that has been asked for a million years from people that do what you do, but I will ask you anyway. Do you start to look at the Democratic field and start to get a sense of that to maybe identify or start working on who you might be doing next?
You know, I don't, and I'll tell you why. Because if I had worked on John Kerry 4 years ago, that would have been a waste of a lot of time.
Absolutely.
Now, what are you going to do if Hillary wins?
I'll be back, guys. Do not worry.
Oh, that's right.
We did a sketch in the show.
Oh, that's right.
The third sketch up is the Bill Clinton Library, the William Jefferson Clinton Library, and it's like we're the only library with a Papa shot.
Hey, that's right. That's like the Hillary insurance policy for impressionists.
Oh yeah, you better believe it.
You got Bill Clinton.
I will be there, or you will be square.
I love that. Well,
Frank, you should know, seriously, we are huge fans and very proud of your whoring and all the success you're getting, and really to have the balls to sit up there and do that right to Charles Barkley's face, maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen you do. I swear to God.
Oh, and you aced it, and it's so neat that when you were here that one time and just starting it, I mean, just starting to work on it, and it is spot on. It's fabulous.
Yeah, it's come. It's so funny how fast it's come so far in such a short amount of time. Here's a guy who should learn how to say that correctly. See, that's what it does. It doesn't have the words down. I've been there. But, yeah, it was a blast to be able to do that. And as I'm getting to do some of these, it's cool to meet the people. That's one of the best things. So.
Yeah. He is simply the humble, very funny, huge whore. His name is Frank Caliendo, and the show is on Tuesday night at 11 o'clock on TBS. Frank TV. Maybe you've seen the thousands of commercials.
Yes, they've been all over the place. You have a happy Thanksgiving, Frank.
Thanks. And in the tradition of my whoring, tonight is the stand-up special at 9 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. Right. TBS. Hey,
can you plug it one more time as Al Pacino, please, for me?
9 o'clock. Central. There it is. I've got it. 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central tonight, TBS Tuesday, Frank TV. Don't miss it. 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, TBS.
That's my favorite right there.
And Frank, we have a request. Here's one tape for you.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Frank, God bless you. Have a great holiday. Great talking to you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That's Frank.
Frank Caliendo.
Oh, man, he's funny. That is, you know, to hear him actually just the genesis of that thing. And you nailed that with, well, I know good impressions, but the thing is.
Sure, I'm looking at one.
He sat there. I could not
That's Frank
tell.
Caliendo. It's good to see you, man.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
You see that look that Chuck has given me over there? That I hope it doesn't break into my voice. That's
right there.
I really thought that was Charles Barkley.
I know.
I mean,
it's been nuts. He does not sound like me. He looks like a fool. Kenneth, tell him he's crazy.
I'm just waiting. Number one.
Crazy.
From the clip.
Oh, that was you talking. My fault.
Sorry. Let me mirror what you're doing over there.
All right, that's how bad stuff happened around here. You know, it's been really fun watching all your promos, but I'm not going to be happy. They say you do me really well.
He's been doing that for the last five minutes. That's the problem.
I'm listening right now, but I don't hear what is going with. It just doesn't sound.
That's Frank.
It doesn't sound right. That guy's a knucklehead.
You know what he's thinking?
Let me tell you something, Kenny. Hold on a second. I never get to finish anything here. I start to say something, everybody takes it away from me.
You got to know.
I don't know which one's which.
I watch Charles Barkley. I watch the NBA all the time.
Right.
You have to know, just like with Madden, not only does he have the voice, these are all the things that Charles Barkley truly says.
Right.
He truly says, hey, put the camera on me.
Yeah.
Don't take the camera off me.
And the knucklehead part, right?
He's a knucklehead.
How come I can't finish a sentence in this place? What's the problem here?
That's not bad. No.
Hold on a second.
You
bring
thought
the
your
camera
conscience
back
was going on.
Give me the camera. Where's my camera? Take a look. If you're going to switch cameras, let me know, okay? Don't make me look like an idiot over here, all right?
Off limits for a comedian.
I think so.
That's when Frank goes right back to
his right into his normal Frank
Being
stuff.
Frank.
I guess so.
Nice guy, Frank.
I guess so.
Oh, that's great.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Watch Frank's show. Mm-hmm. Watch him. He's the new Tyler Perry.
And that is a brochure sent by TBS, really, that looks like it should be for a new car.
Look at that.
Welcome back to the show.
Oh, hi, Buzz.
Hi.
It's almost time.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Are you ready over there, Johnny?
More strike news, yeah.
What do you got, Ringo?
Strike news.
All right, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're
great. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen.
Yep.
We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
Right. You, me, bar, beers, buzz.
One's gonna be a race.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Hey, you know something? No, what? I had a dream last night about the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you know something? No, what? I had a dream last night.
Hi there, Ringo.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Just want to say my dream was not like that.
Thank
Here
you.
Here is Buzz Starkey with the news.
This may have been the first conversation between Leno and Letterman in years. They and Conan O'Brien have been talking behind the scenes about when and how to get their shows back on the air as the writer's strike drags on.
Suck on that, losers.
None of them wants to be the first to go back to work in spite of the strike.
Who's the boss is taped before a live studio audience?
They want to show respect to their writers, but they also have contracts to fulfill. So all three are talking about returning December 10th or perhaps December 3rd. They've been in reruns since November 5th. NBC
from the Bob Barker studio. Come on down. Let's party.
No. Wrong TV host.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought that was Conan.
He's retired.
NBC says it will stop paying the Conan and Leno non-writing staff members around December 1st if everyone hasn't returned to work by then. Letterman, who owns his show, had planned to pay his people through the end of December. The comeback plans could change if a settlement draws near. The producers are starting to talk about restarting the negotiations.
Good. I'm only laughing because Rob is, while he's searching for David Letterman's name.
Yes.
He keeps finding like...
Well, it was, again, a most unusual week here at Augusta.
Hey, Jim Nantz.
I could listen to that every day.
Hey, guys. Over the line, guys. So what do you think, Buzz?
I think you're
an aficionado of those guys.
I think that they will go back on the air, and it may not be necessary. In fact, they may, as I said, they'll have to push back their plans. If something happens in the next week or so that the talks start up again and it begins to look hopeful, then these guys won't be coming back on the air December 3rd,
you know,
December 10th.
I think what's happening now, and we were just talking, because I'm new to the party with The Office, and we were talking about how funny it was, and I think really when you we have a short attention span, but it also takes a while. It has to impact us immediately.
Right. Right.
And I think now that people are sensing that their favorite shows are going to be impacted right
no
away.
No deal, Howie.
It's no deal, Howie.
Now, Michael Cera of Superbad and Arrested Development is the guest host tomorrow on Saturday Night Live. You just won't be able to watch it at your house. You'd have to go to a theater in New York and pay admission. The proceeds go to the feeding the writers' families during the strike.
You know, no, I've heard this, and this one is okay, I guess. Do you ever think about 30 Rock?
Yeah, there's a new 30 Rock Monday night at 8 in that same theater for the same reason.
Mm, okay. You know, I don't know why
it's
that...
It's kind of New York-y, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't know why that bothers
me. I know,
me,
that's why, the same reason it bothers me.
It's the whole, hey, we're New York, we're working actors, I'm Alec Baldwin, I am God. Okay, I got an idea. We've got this script, let's put it on in the theater. Because we're New York theater people.
Yeah, I guess they're not going to need any stagehands because they're on strike, too. That's
I think true. Part of it is, especially among writers, they're having a hard time keeping their pens in their pants. In the case of the Daily Show staff, they actually set up a card table out on the sidewalk and were doing a fake newscast, which they blog online daily.
That's New York-y, too.
You see the strikers walking in the background, and then for over-the-shoulder graphics for the anchor, it was really one of the writers, they have another guy just holding up crudely drawn placards behind him.
I'll tell you one thing, though, that I've noticed with all of the actors. All of the famous actors slash writers mm-hmm. who you occasionally see on the picket lines.
Right.
Tina Fey always manages to look spectacular.
Yes.
I mean,
I love
she's
that
hot as balls. I swear to God she is.
I felt the same way when I saw Matthew Perry on the picket line. He always looks really, really good. And he's out of work anyway, so what does he have to do?
Exactly. Now, some shows, of course, have to go on. On NBC...
Do it float?
On NBC, Matt and Meredith will host the Macy's Parade Thanksgiving morning using scab writers.
Well, now, hold
Are
on.
You kidding? No, I'm not
wait,
kidding.
Hold on. First off, excuse me.
So yes. Go ahead.
Why do you need a writer to say, now from Morningside, Maryland, let's say hello to the mm-hmm. to the battle and drum corps?
Exactly. That's the kind of thing that somebody has to write. And so
that's the worst writing in television.
I know it
that's
is.
That's part that of is, the magic.
That is beyond bad well, writing, but it could be done by the moms that bring the band kids up to the thing.
It could be done by Matt Lauer.
Sure.
I bet they could pull the same copy from last year.
Probably.
No, I'm not lying.
You don't need writers at all. You don't need writers for that.
You're right.
All you do is, like, you get a card that has whatever the float is that's going on.
Roker needs a writer.
You know what they're talking about? Like, it was, well, here it comes around the corner. Mm-hmm. This year made out of 8,000 milk cartons.
Right.
And here they are, the Johnny Jumper Vasectomy Singers.
So when they're giving that banter that says something along the lines of, well, Santa's helpers are going to be very surprised this year as they ride atop the...
Somebody wrote that.
That crap?
Yes.
Oh, and so my God.
If you think it's bad every year, wait till you hear it this year with the scab writer.
Maybe it'll be better.
I swear to God it might be better.
It's worth tuning in just to see.
My kids live for it, so I've had to watch it for six years running.
Your kids get excited about seeing the parade?
Oh, they love it.
Most okay.
Julia, we videotaped it like 3 years ago, and she watched it for a year.
Are you like me? Do you pray for the balloons to go crazy?
Oh, yeah, because it's the only thing that makes it mildly interesting.
Remember a couple years ago, big M&M.
They hit the light.
Yeah,
right?
They knocked the light. You hit the light, right?
And you know, another thing with the parade, being a bit of a parade connoisseur, I take my kids to parades.
Right.
How about some better audio for like when they get the bands?
Yeah, I'd like that.
So it doesn't sound like your stereo is out of sync.
It's a holiday. Nobody's really throwing themselves into their
work. You know,
work
one thing
that
I always remember from the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade
What's that?
Is that everything is lip synced.
Yeah,
yes, right.
And it's like you're looking at a bad Disney production where you go, and here we go to honor America. Here are the kids from the fourth grade class. And, you know, it's like watching a bad Japanese movie where, you know what I'm saying. And
bring the chocolate chip cookies because the American dairy farmers this year are presenting to us the fabulous.
And that cookie would have to be 16 feet in diameter because Cookie Monster's balloon is coming off.
What are your names?
Thank you,
Whitney,
Al.
Jitney.
W.
Incest.
Crystal Meth. International Harvester.
Birthday.
Non sequitur.
Yeah, but a good one. A group of more than 5,000 Christians is praying for the souls of celebrities who appear to be lost causes. They call themselves the Hollywood Prayer Network.
I want to pray for Leah Remini.
Yep. Now, who else do we need to pray for out there? Oh. We don't need to pray for Kevin James. He's doing fine with his movie career. Beatrice Arthur.
I want to pray for the star of Chuck.
How about the Widow Goulet?
The Widow Goulet. Yeah,
I want to pray. I want to pray for the new bionic woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't want to pray for carpoolers. I want to pray for cavemen.
Cavemen, yeah.
Cavemen. Amen.
And may I throw my regular prayer in for Paula Abdul. Get well.
And stay well.
Stay well.
This morning, 700 of them gathered in Beverly Hills for a prayer breakfast, these Christians who are praying for lost celebrities.
Let's get our Christ on.
A theology professor who's part of the group believes that because of the influence he feels celebrities have, praying for them might be, and I quote, more important than praying for our president. The prayers slipped a Bible to Paris Hilton earlier this month. They're trying to get one to Britney Spears. In the past, they've prayed for Robert Downey.
Leave Britney alone!
There she is. They've prayed for Robert Downey Jr. in the past, along with Robin Williams.
I pray that Paris makes another video.
Yeah, that's a good prayer. Mm-hmm. According to Hollywood...
I pray Judd Nelson comes back into our lives.
How about all of the Brat Pack?
Yeah.
Mike, how about a...
Andrew McCarthy?
How about a remake of The Breakfast Club?
Oh, fantastic.
It's about time.
As they are today, all of them. Molly Ringwurm.
Right.
What's his name? Charlie Sheen's brother, Emilio Estevez.
Yeah. And
Ali Sheedy.
And Demi Moore. Well, she's doing okay.
Yeah.
Not quite, though. She's beginning. You know, they made that big deal about her looking stunning, you know, with the younger relationship. I saw a movie with her recently, and yeah, she's just okay.
You know what? That plastic surgery was good. For the length of time that the Charlie's Angels movie was out,
right.
Where she ran along the beach holding the surfboard.
Exactly.
Right after that movie tanked is when all of the face started to slide off as well.
Yeah, you begin to realize perhaps not great genes.
Kind of like the Nazis at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark when they melt.
Oh. Yeah, when their faces melt.
What makes a Nazi?
It's always Nazi.
How does he get that way?
Yeah, I didn't even make that movie. I made the other one.
You're nutty Nazis.
They are funny, aren't they?
Quoting a Hollywood publicist, sanctimonious and a bit creepy, frankly. I've been to some Christian events, he says, that are every bit as discomforting as Tommy Lee at his worst. A new study from the University of Washington finds that people with a sense of moral superiority are the most likely to do
Don Geronimo.
Most likely to do unethical things.
Michael Soares.
I just killed a cat.
How about that?
That's
but
a
you're
bad
telling
thing.
Others not to.
Well, it's unethical.
That's right.
So don't do it.
And this,
don't do it.
This theory or this evidence would explain the rash of anti-gay Republican politicians who get caught being gay.
That's right. I'm gay.
No, yeah, you're not. No, no. What you're doing is
gay sex. Whoa.
You know, you're making your jokes, and you're not doing the right thing. And that's what I do. And that's why I'm the conscience of America. And we'll give you a book for your teenager for Christmas.
This University of Washington studies about him as well.
Yeah.
The study found that people who say they have the highest moral standards are most likely to behave the worst.
Don Geronimo.
Wouldn't harm a flea.
The study says this type.
Get out of my way! Ass!
The study says this type rationalizes it all through a means justifies the end mentality.
Well, I had to do it. He made me do what?
I understand.
That's wonderful method acting right there.
You're very good.
That's terrific.
Yeah, let's give it up for that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. No acting, Mike.
I know.
Remember, in every bit of comedy,
yes,
a bit of truth.
Grain of truth.
Comes from your scary place.
They teased it over and over for the 11 o'clock news last night.
It doesn't come from my scary place.
Oh, that's right. Well, I've never seen your really scary place.
Comes from the bad place.
Food comes from my scary place.
Thank God you've never seen mine.
Food I have eaten and digested.
And for both of us, thank double God that we've never seen his.
Rob's?
You want to see it?
No, I don't.
It's on the internet.
Internet.
YouTube.
Internet.
Rob's anus on the internet.
Oh, they ran the promos
the anus net.
Over and over last night. What some Santas can't say this year, they said. Well, the story was in Australia, Santa Clauses were supposedly being told not to say ho, 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 because that's a derogatory term for a woman or perhaps three women.
Yep.
Anyway, these Santas were supposedly being told to say instead, ha, ha, ha.
I'm sorry I did that.
The Santas were supposedly told that ha, ha, ha is less frightening to young children than ho, ho, ho.
I'm sorry I did that.
I don't know whether I want that kid to get on my lap or not.
The important there word is supposedly.
Exactly.
They were supposedly told.
Right. And this is the story everybody was pounding last night. Most of Australia's Santas are recruited through one company, but that company is denying this story. The slang word, and here's your proof right here, the slang word ho isn't even used in Australia.
You know, kiss my bubba. Just kiss it.
This was the story News 4 was pounding all night during the NBC comedies.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, come on, they got sweeps.
You know, I watched, I think it was Fox that had a story about the field trip where they can't go to see Miracle on 34th Street. And you know what's beginning to bother me almost as much as people not letting kids go see Miracle on 34th Street is the Fox News Channel being so indignant about the school not being able to go. That's so popular right now. Hey, they're anti-Christmas. Yes, mm-hmm. It's anti. Can you believe somebody's against Santa Claus? Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly had a lot to do with that as well.
For the first time ever, I got the head.
That's Bindi the Jungle Girl. Oh,
that's Bindi Irwin.
Yeah, that's for Australia.
She's very young.
For Australia. Thank you, Rob. Of course, she's talking about having her dad's head on a stick.
For the first time ever, I got the head.
Why do we exploit her, mate?
Your head cold may be trying to kill you. That's our story when we continue.
All right, Buzz, thank you. And let's get a bulletin from Webmeister Joe Ardinger. Joe?
Yes, Don.
Joe, the fire, joegibbsnow.com website. What are the current results?
An all-time high of 57% for the firing of Joe Gibbs Now.
That is beautiful, people, because Fox Sports keeps calling us. They may go with it on their Fox show this weekend.
Wow.
Starting to tip.
So keep voting.
Wow.
Keep voting. Vote early.
Vote often.
Stand by for more with Ringo. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
God, I want to kiss you on the mouth to stop you from saying such ridiculous things.
Right. Guess it.
Sweet peaches, what have I done?
Smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Hot as balls. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, cool and out of
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Buzzy Ringo.
You know I don't like to alarm people, but your head cold may try to kill you this year.
Yes.
After just toying with us since the dawn of time, the cold virus is mutating now.
And oh, come on.
Starting to kill people.
Right.
Come on.
The Centers for Disease Control says it's killed 10 Americans in
Give
the past
tussin.
Year and a half.
Rub some tussin on it. That'll Put some it. Tussin on the bone, boy. That'll take care of it. You got a broken leg? Rub some tussin on it. Get it right out of the bone. More tussin. Yeah, cold's not going to kill people. The tossed salad man's going to kill people.
I will learn to read.
I'm going to learn to read.
This mutated cold virus has tried to kill about 140 people in Texas, New York, Oregon, and Washington State.
Pour it in my hand for a dime.
You're a goddamn genius.
I'm sorry. I topped over the tape. Pour it in my hand for a dime.
It mainly seems to crop up in military bases and hospitals or any small group that's in constant close contact.
Hey, that's us.
It's less likely to kill you and more easily treated if you catch it early.
Constant contact. WJFK.
I feel sick.
Not me.
If this year's cold seems dramatically worse than usual, call your doctor.
Well, I did. I made an appointment for Mike today.
10:15 on the
29th, and we're all going with you, Mike. 29. We're all going with you.
Looking forward to it.
See you there.
Okay. Get your death sentence.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All the pallbearers.
And your expensive.
You know what the scariest thing will be if we walk into the doctor. Office. Uh-huh. Paul Bearer is funny. Like delayed reaction on that one. If I walk in and he sees all you guys and he says, "No, this is not funny. Just come in here for a second.
That'd be fine.
Then I'll poop.
I'm sure he has magazines.
We'll wait outside.
Would we all be your pallbearers?
Huh?
I didn't ask you poop.
Yes, of course.
That's nice.
Right.
And we'll be there to give you support so that when you come out with the bad news, then we can, you know.
Support in the doctor's office, support for the casket.
Console you.
Carrie one time was worried because she said, after all, you guys would be my pallbearers.
I want dibs on the front left-hand side.
You know, great minds think alike. That would be where I'd want to be.
Want to be on the back left.
No, I want to be on the front left. I want to be by you. Would I be by your head or by your feet?
Feet, probably.
By my head. Front left would be... Head.
Get me right there, front left, so I'm holding with my right arm, which is my strongest arm, and I'm also in all the photographs.
I damn near dropped my mother-in-law's casket.
It's like picking the table in the restaurant with your back to the wall.
That's right.
The Shatner table, so that you face everybody. I want to be the Bill Shatner at your funeral. Mm-hmm.
I was the youngest.
Said front left?
Front left. You're going to write that? Yeah. I got dibs on that.
FL.
I'll take anything on the left.
Okay.
Because I was the youngest pallbearer at my mother-in-law's funeral.
You know what? I'm sorry. You're not going to get the left. I'm going to separate you guys. at my
well,
event.
Put someone between us, but you know my right arm falls asleep.
I'm gonna put you on.
You're
the
gonna
right
end
side.
Up right in a parking lot because I'm not gonna be able to hold on.
You can never separate us.
I know, but you know, at least at the the ceremony afterwards, you know, when you're all drinking, then you can sit together. But at least for the walk into the church.
At your mother-in-law's thing, did you really drop?
Almost, because my right arm falls asleep because I got a screwed up neck,
mm-hmm.
and the old men all took by the right arm.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got the box from the hearse up to the hole, these are nice terms, aren't they?
Yeah.
Technical.
I really had no feeling left in my hand.
Said with love.
And it was really really taxing to make sure I was holding on.
Wow. So your arms got tired.
No,
with your workout schedule, like
numb.
Maybe I should step up to yours.
Hey, I work out, pal.
I know.
I work out every year.
That's right. We could work out together. We could both look at your equipment.
The regular routine.
Oh, go put your spaghetti on the internet.
Remember, I got to use my right arm at your funeral. That's it.
Uh-huh. Understood.
After you have that vasectomy, you won't be using that right arm for much.
That's for sure.
Your expensive ice cream is also trying to kill you. They have a $25,000 ice cream sundae at a restaurant in Manhattan called Serendipity 3. $25,000 for a sundae. It features expensive and exotic cocos, and it's sprinkled with flecks of 22-karat gold. It comes in a gold cup, and you eat it with a gold spoon, both of which you get to keep.
Wow!
But
can I have the check, please?
But
that will be $25,000.
Holy S!
And worse yet, Charlie, on Wednesday night, health officials shut down the restaurant for failing 2 inspections in a month.
Oh, no! I can't get my $25,000 Sunday!
Uh-huh. Both times, inspectors found mice and flies, cockroaches, and, of course, piles of mouse droppings.
Of course.
Mr. Mangorian's Wonder Emporium! It's this weekend!
Proving that all the glitters, that ain't gold.
I'm not going to see Beowulf, though.
Why, Charlie?
Because it sucks. And Fred Claus.
Speaking of funerals and such as we were, legally, for the most part, you can't just go scattering human ashes just anywhere. It's usually banned as a health code violation, but people do it because to most of us, the wishes of the departed supersede the law. On Friday, Disneyland workers in California spotted a woman sprinkling a powder-like substance into the water on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Oh, God.
For safety and security reasons in these paranoid times, they shut
down.
They
had her killed.
No, they shut down the ride, though, and called the cops. It now appears to have been human ashes. I don't believe they ever caught up with the woman. It has also happened, we understand, on the Haunted Mansion and other rides at Disneyland.
That is sad.
Wouldn't that like be you're wishing that you spend eternity in hell if you say, take my ashes and spread them on Disney property?
That is some kind of pathetic.
Well, and it's a small world. People only wish they were dead.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm about to tell you, however, may haunt you for a very, very long time. There's a fair chance your parents want to have a threesome. A survey by
that would be very hard right now.
I understand.
Yeah,
I'm not
parents.
Speaking to you specifically. I'm speaking to the listening audience.
I'm saying my mom would need 2 guys.
Mm-hmm. A survey by a MySpace-type website for people 50 and older shows that nearly 1 in 4 is open to inviting a third person into their lovemaking. 10,000 folks between 50 and 65 were surveyed. 45% say they like to have sex at least once a week. 88% said they'd like to spice things up even more.
Hell yeah.
But 44% said they spend 20 to 30 minutes per session. 24% said 30 minutes to an hour.
To have sex?
Yes.
30 minutes to an hour?
And these are the older folks.
A lot of it has to do with undoing the truss.
The truss.
And 62% say they touch themselves at least once a month.
See you at the blacksmith shop.
That's a video that I want to see.
The truss?
No.
Rob Spiewak's truss.
The touching.
Ooh.
Old people touching themselves.
Well, you used to like the magazines, right? The 50? The 50 plus?
The over 50 and over 60. God, those are...
They all had red hair.
Where
Why?
Where do you find those great pornos now? The magazine was called Over 50.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're still out there, aren't they?
It's usually the MILF things now. That's what you get a lot of.
Yeah, but we like the ones with the hagged out women. Do you remember there was one guy in Baltimore that would go to a certain newsstand?
And he would bring us boxes of them, and some of them were previously viewed.
Ew! Ed at City News. Wasn't that his name?
That sounds right.
God damn it, Rob. Your mind.
How does he remember
this? I swear to Christ, you don't know the name of the guy who was the star of the movie Norma Rae.
Mm-hmm. Like everyone does.
But hold on. But you do know the name of a guy that brought us over 50 porno 15 years ago.
My head is an apartment building, and there's just limited vacancy. They got to make room sometime.
We'll get a condo for Ron, what's his name?
Ron Liebman.
Ron
He's in
Liebman.
There now.
Mm-hmm. Ron but, Liebman.
But you know what? I'll have to kick out the Ed from City News if I want to learn something else. Okay. It's full.
I believe that. In Louisiana, a white state lawmaker is taking some heat for calling a black civil rights veteran Buckwheat. Buckwheat was a beloved stereotypical character in the 1940s Little Rascals. Eddie Murphy played.
Was he really?
Eddie Murphy played a grown-up version of Buckwheat on Saturday Night Live in the 80s. Talk to you later, Buckwheat, said this white Louisiana politician as she bade farewell to the woman who'd helped get black voters to the polls in a recent runoff election. Quoting NAACP chapter
this
president
is Robert Anger Mailman for the Dons and Mike Show.
Hazel Boykin, I've never had no one talk to me that way. I consider it a racial slur. I know the meaning of it. It's just like the N-word.
I wish I had a watermelon. I wish I had a watermelon. I wish I had a really big watermelon.
Go on.
The Democrat has apologized publicly and privately, calling her remark insensitive, and she says she did not mean to offend anyone.
I wish I had a watermelon.
I wish I had a vasectomy.
And finally, any headline involving topless Swedish babes always gets my attention. Scores of women calling themselves the Bare Breast Brigade have started swimming topless as a protest at Sweden's many public swimming pools.
Sweet peaches, what have I done?
They make a couple of good points.
Wow.
Mommy boobies.
One, that men can go topless, so it's unfair. And two, that making such a big deal out of it makes women sex objects. Quoting 21-year-old Astrid, our aim is to blah, 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 rules that sexualize and discriminate against the female body. There's a similar organization in Canada where it appears to be a little chilly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Honey, give me the biggest kiss you got.
Go ahead and rub it, stop me and wish for something. What I wish for, or anything. Go ahead and rub it. I wish I had a watermelon. I wish I had a watermelon. I wish I had a watermelon.
That's right.
I wish I had a watermelon. I wish I had a watermelon.
Oh, I wish for something big.
I wish I had a big watermelon.
That's it.
Sorry, we're out of time.
You got to put that one in context and play it until the big watermelon comes in there. Absolutely.
I wish I had a watermelon. That's it. We got to go. Have a great weekend. Safe weekend. Love you, Frito. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. We'll be back Monday. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
See you at the doctor. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Ed.
Can I get a quick shout out to a buddy of mine?
Sure.
Hi, Baron von Steenhoff.
Baron von Steenhoff in Beowulf.
Frank TV.
This is the Don and Mike Show.